under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Walls?
Here.
Mr. Sachs?
Here.
Ms. Satika?
Here.
Mr. Rich? Mr. Porcina?
Here.
Announcement. Notice of this meeting was published in the annual meeting notice schedule adopted by this board on February 22, 2023. The Lebanon Township Board of Adjustment will hold its regular meeting on Wednesday, December 20th, 2023, at a different location. The meeting will be held at Fortis High School, 256, Route 515, Glen Barbour, New Jersey. The meeting will be held in the cafeteria on the first floor. Notices of this change and location were published in the Huntington Review on August 30th, 2023, and in the Courier News on September 3rd, 2023. The agenda meeting notice was emailed to the Huntington Review and the Courier News, faxed to the Huntington County Democrat, Star Ledger, and Express Times, and posted on the Lebanon Township website and bulletin board in the municipal building on December 15th, 2023. Presentation of minutes. From January 10th, 2024.
No.
That will be at our next meeting. Presentation of bills, that will be taken up next time. Public hearings. The three applications listed below have been consolidated for purposes of holding one hearing on all applications simultaneously. Number one, interpretation application. NAR Group, Lot 57, Lot 23, 62 Anthony Road, RC Zone, 7.5 acres. Release salt in the application. Interpretation of Chapter Ordinance, Section 400-4, definitions, specifically the terms farm and agriculture and horticulture, to determine whether the applicant's proposed medical cannabis growing facility is included within the meaning of those terms. While the applicant is aware of the adoption of Ordinance 2022-10, which prohibits cannabis growing facilities of all types, the applicant seeks the above interpretation of Ordinance Section 400-4, independent of that prohibition on the proposed use. Number two, use variance application. NAR Group, Lot 57, Lot 23, 62 Anthony Road, RC Zone, 7.5 acres. Release salt in the application. G1 use variance from Ordinance Section 400-9A, which prohibits cannabis growing facilities of all types, to allow a proposed facility, which will be engaged in the cultivation of medicinal cannabis in the RC zone. G1 use variance from Ordinance Section 400-8A1, if deemed necessary, to permit agricultural labor housing within one of the existing structures, and G1 use variance from Ordinance Section 400-8B5, if deemed necessary, to permit two principal structures on one lot to allow for both a facility as well as agricultural labor housing within an existing structure. Time within which to decide application, April 15, 2024. Number three, site plan application. NAR Group, Lot 57, Lot 23, 62 Anthony Road, RC Zone, 7.5 acres. Release salt in the application is a preliminary and final site plan application to allow construction of the proposed improvements on the property. Time within which to decide application, April 15, 2024. Jonathan?
No housekeeping tonight. We left off with Mr. Webb cross-examining Mr. Marion, and that's where we're going to continue.
Mr. Webb?
Thank you.
Can I everyone hear me okay?
Yeah, you got to pull that microphone closer to you or speak louder.
I was just going to say,
can the audience hear okay?
No.
Yeah, for whatever reason, the audience seems like they're further back today.
Yeah. So, okay, how about now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is this an appropriate level of sound level?
I go a little louder.
You go a little louder.
A little closer, so, yep.
Okay, so first off, I want to apologize to everyone because I was told afterwards that I was very loud and I was not intending to be, and I was surprised by that, but it's a function of how far this is. You're not aware of how loud it sounds, you know, at least I'm not. So I'm sorry if I was too loud last time. The witness and counsel and everyone else, I'll do my best. And if I'm too loud this time, this guy's been poking, so. Second thing, Mr. Marion, good evening.
Yeah.
Good to see you again. I have all, pretty much all my questions are written out, so I've taken the time to try to write them carefully. I'm not saying they're perfect, but I've made a point of writing them out so that we weren't wasting a lot of time. So I would just ask if you could listen carefully to the question and then answer the question as it's been asked, as opposed to some other questions or some other explanation of why it's the wrong question or what's right. Thank you. You mentioned at the last hearing on January 10th that you were introduced to NAR through your representation of Ramesh Nambai, which you said began, and this is just my recollection because I don't have the transcript, somewhere around 2015 or 2016. About that time?
I don't recall what that sounds like, I recognize.
Okay. What was the nature of the legal services you provided for Ramesh Nambai at that time, if you recall?
What's the relevance?
Okay. Just a relevant objection?
Yes.
What's the relevancy?
It's foundational to further questions of the project.
Foundational to what?
Well, you want me to tell them why I'm asking these questions?
That's not the proffer.
You do want to cross-examine.
I'm asking for a proffer of why the question is relevant.
I think the legal services that he provided to Ramesh Nambai in the past are relevant.
Okay. Irrelevant because why?
Irrelevant because NAR has based its application on a transaction between Ramesh Nambai and NAR that occurred, depending upon how you construe the transaction, some years ago. And
are you trying to ascertain exactly what happened?
I am.
Okay. In my opinion, the question at first appeared not to be relevant, again, I'm thinking that it sounds like it's possibly relevant, and if something comes up, the board can always exclude it later, but in my opinion, you should rule that it's a question is relevant, so overturn it. A rule of your question.
But I'd like to respond. How is it relevant in the zoning board application that was filed June 23rd, 2023?
We went through this again last time because of your position that the application in front of the planning board is relevant to you.
Right.
And his argument is that NAR did not have standing. And I said to you last time, if you withdrew that position and kept here on a jurisdictional basis, simply based on my opinion that the board can be asked an interpretation question of whether a particular use was permitted under a prior ordinance without needing the planning board application, that they were still in jurisdiction over the interpretation and we can go on. And last time you said, no, you're not withdrawing that position. And it's based on that it's my opinion, the question could lead to relevant evidence. Overruled?
Objection, overruled.
I don't recall whether it's a legal question or it's first legal question was
I'm not asking you for the specific legal issue that they can resolve for them, but rather just the general nature of the representation. Was it a draft of will? Was it a house closing? Was he forming a corporation? Was he charged with a crime? That sort of thing.
The question regarding the importation of perfume.
I'm sorry, say again?
Questions regarding the importation of perfume.
Oh, okay. So, and Ramesh Nambai is an executive with a company that is in that business?
Yes.
So were you working then at that time for that company?
What was it you worked for? I was not employed in that company.
Were you engaged by
Stuart? Hold it. You've got to let him finish answering the question. It's not just that you were loud, but you were cutting off too. So let's work on the loudness and then not cutting off. How's that?
Okay, and then you can also work on
the word for.
Yes. I was not an employee of the company, but I was an hourly attorney.
So you were engaged by that company as an attorney to provide legal services?
I would presume so only because I don't work with them.
See, that's an example of what I'm talking about. So if you want to do that, this is going to take a long time.
Okay, but listen, if he can't answer yes because he remembers specifically being engaged via some sort of agreement, I mean, listen, I was on him last time also about not answering questions directly, but to me, that one is okay. He's presuming he was engaged. That's his answer. Is that your answer?
It is.
Do you know for a fact that you were engaged?
No, I don't recall the date he signed an NDA or
what's the name of that comment?
I don't know.
Do you still do work for Ramesh and Juan now?
No.
Are you sure? You do work for, are you sure that you don't do work for Ramesh and Juan?
Correct.
How long did you do work for Ramesh and Juan?
For him personally?
For me, yeah. Let me rephrase it. How long did you provide legal services for Ramesh and Juan or any business interests of his other than law?
Sporadically. I think recently I signed an arising report, which is a part of
it. So recently you did?
Yes.
Okay. You could look at Exhibit 08, the deed from Ramesh and Juan to NAR, dated April 5th, 2023.
You said 08. Yeah, 08.
Section 2, in parentheses, it says that the consideration paid for the deed was $1.
I didn't see where it says that.
This affidavit is used to calculate the realty transfer fee that is owed by the seller to the state of New Jersey, correct?
I have no idea. I'm not a land transfer attorney. I don't know.
Is it correct to say that Ramesh and Juan received consideration of $1 for the transfer of his real estate to NAR?
And more. But I'm not
answering. Well, you can answer yes or no.
He received more.
So the consideration that he received for the transfer of his real estate wasn't $1.
I have no idea how much cash it was.
It's thousands. You didn't ask for cash. Come on.
I already answered. He's re-asking the same question.
He asked you. Ask your question again, and just listen to the question and answer his question.
No, he actually answered correctly that time, because I asked him about consideration, so he I didn't even use the word cash.
He answered with cash.
I understand, but he's...
Okay, if you're satisfied, keep on going then if you're satisfied.
So, do you believe Ramesh and Juan received cash for his real estate that he transferred to NAR?
I don't know if he holds services in cash.
He may have, you believe?
He may have cash. I don't
know. So you have no idea why this form, which is filed when he's filed with E, says that received $1. I'm sorry?
Which is filed.
What she didn't hear you. She did not hear you.
This form, which is filed with the state. When you file, when you report a deed, says that he would pay $1 in consideration for the real estate. If you don't know, you don't know.
Is there a question?
I said, you don't know.
He is asking, are you asking a question? I didn't hear a question either. I heard you make a statement. He wants to know what the question is.
Do you know? If he received more than $1 in consideration for transferring his real estate to NAR?
Yes.
So far you've said you believe he may have received cash. Correct.
I said I don't know if he received cash.
So is it true that he may have received cash? What else do you believe he received?
I said
NAR. Do you know of anything else? So, at the last hearing session, you said that NAR has not issued share certificates to any shareholder, is that correct?
Correct, not that I know.
Please look at A76. Signed a subscription agreement marked as A82. Is that correct?
Yes.
NAR's organized under the New Jersey Business Corporation Act, correct?
I'm sorry, can I repeat that?
NAR is organized under the New Jersey Business Corporation Act. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I believe it is.
I'm going to ask to have Mark for identification, New Jersey Statute, Section 14A:7-11.
I think we can do this rather than spend the time to have, unless you want to read it, check it online, say assuming that this accurately reflects what NJSA 14A:7-11 states, and then ask this question. Which way do you want to do it, Ms. Jennings?
If it will presume it's accurate, we point out it's not, you know.
Great.
Sure.
So this is going to be marked for identification as O23, unless I'm mistaken. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Share shall be represented by certificates or shall be uncertificated share.
Correct.
In order for them to be uncertificated, the board of NAR would have to provide for uncertificated share. So I'm asking you.
NAR.
How do you say it? What was in that sentence? Well, in any case, do you know if the board of NAR provide for uncertificated share?
I do not know if it's a resolution.
You don't know.
I'll answer.
He said, I don't know, and then he said something else I couldn't hear.
I said, I don't know of any such board resolution.
Request from the Canada's Regulatory Commission.
And who did the redactions? The Cannabis Regulatory Commission or your office?
Cannabis Regulatory Commission.
Okay. So we should be noted, we're going to mark this for identification as 024. And again, on the top, it says Bylaws of the NAR Group, Inc. And there are some redactions in it. And Mr. Webb has represented that this is how the document came from the CRC, Cannabis Regulatory Commission. His office did not do the redactions. You can hand these out to everybody. This is going to be, again, marked for identification as 024.
You recognize these bylaws?
I do.
Could you please look at page 8? So in page 8, in Article 4, section 4.1, which is labeled certificates for share, can you please read this section of the bylaws into the record?
The certificates for shares are stock of the corporation certifying the number of shares represented thereby. But each shareholder in such company consists of the certificate of corporation as shall be approved by the board of directors. Such certificates shall be governed by the order in which they are issued, shall be signed by the president and by the chairman of the board, the vice president or secretary, or another person expressly designated by the board of directors, assistant secretary, and shall be sealed with the seal of the corporation. All certificates exchanged or returned to the corporation shall be canceled.
Thank you. So, based on what you just read and the statute that you read immediately prior to that, was it correct to say that both the New Jersey Business Corporation Act and NAR's bylaws require NAR to issue stock certificates to the shareholder?
Yes, at some point, yes.
Please look again at NJSA 14A:7-11.
That's Exhibit 023?
Yes, it is.
I have 023 in hand.
Would you please read subsection 4 into the record?
No certificate shall be issued for any share until such share is fully paid.
Thank you. I now ask the Board for Identification of Jersey Statutes, Section 14A:7-5.
We mark for identification Exhibit 025, and I'm going to ask Ms. Jennings the same question. Can we operate under the premise, assuming that it's accurate, he asks his questions?
Yeah.
So, A82 the sheriff's subscription agreement on Ramesh and Ronnie. The first line on page one says, restricted stock subscription agreement made as of December 22nd, 2021. You see that? That same language, made as of December 22nd, 21, also appears in the subscription agreement you see what the mining marked as A84. Is that correct? Take a moment to look at it.
Yes, they are made the same.
Well, it's not just that they're dated the same. They both say made as of December 22nd, 2021. Correct?
Yes, they do.
Does this language mean that A82 and A84 were in fact signed on December 22nd, 2021?
No.
Is it possible that either or both of these documents were signed on some other day but intended to be effective as of December 22nd, 2021?
Yes.
You don't know when A82 and A84 were signed, do you?
No.
Isn't it true that A82 and A84 are a form document that you prepare for NAR's use?
Yes.
And they have blank spaces for information to be filled in by NAR?
Yes.
And is it true that those blank spaces included the date in the first paragraph, the number of shares in paragraph 2, and the consideration payable for the shares in paragraph 2?
Those are some of the blanks, yes.
But those are blanks, correct?
Yes.
And you don't know who filled in those blanks on 882 or 84, do you?
You asked the question in the negative, so I'm going to answer.
You know who filled in? You don't know who filled in the blanks on 882 or 84, is that correct?
Correct.
And you don't know when they filled in those blanks, correct?
Ask and answer.
Oh, did he? I said who, and then I said when.
Right. You asked when before. Just to make this short, do you know when?
No.
That's the second time that he said he didn't know when.
Okay. Please look again at Exhibit A76, the stock purchase agreement between Nora and Ronnie and Ronnie and Cecile Kamani. Did Ramesh Meghwani, Sushila Meghwani, or Rashi Meghwani receive anything from you in advance of the meeting at your office where they signed the agreement May 76?
Yes, they would have received a copy of May 76. So they could review it for their own house.
If Ramesh Nagwani, Sheila Kamani, and Rasha Nagwani were all present in your office on December 22nd, 2021, to sign the stock purchase agreement, A76, why didn't they also sign A82 and A84, their subscription agreements, in your presence at that same time?
I don't know.
If this was intended to be a transaction where those two documents were involved, would it have made sense to do that at the same time?
I'm sorry,
too speculative.
Too speculative, I don't know how to answer that.
Did you obtain informed consent from Ramesh Nagwani and NAR concerning any conflict of interest that might arise from your representation to NAR and stock purchase agreement while Ramesh is complying with what's their client?
Yes.
Was there informed consent in writing?
Yes.
Would you produce that?
No, I cannot produce my retainer. But I will tell you that it's part of every retainer, starting at the bottom.
Well, when would the retainer have been signed?
It worked for the next line.
So Ramesh Nagwani would have given you the consent to this transaction when he first retained you in 2015 or 2016?
That is not what I said.
You said when I was first retained by Ramesh Nagwani.
No. You asked, yeah? You asked whether he was informed that there may be conflicts in the future and that he's waiving conflicts unless I'm directly adverse to him. That's very, unless I'm directly adverse to him. That's called a conflict waiver. That's very different than saying that he gave consent for a future transaction knowing you about it. Don't even keep.
Okay, but you're saying that whatever waiver he gave to any conflict was given when he first engaged you in 2015 or 2016.
That would be accurate.
That's correct. So there was no specific written consent given by Ramesh Nagwani at the time of this particular transaction. Is that correct?
That I don't know, but there was no separate written consent.
Print of Rules of Professional Conduct 1.7, entitled Conflict of Interest General Rule. This applies to New Jersey licensed attorneys, anyone in practicing in the state of New Jersey.
I'd like to have this marked for identification.
Yeah. Mark it for identification as 026, and I'm going to ask Ms. Jennings again, assuming that it accurately reflects the text of RPC 1.7. Can I ask questions based on that assumption? Is that agreeable to you?
Yes.
The board attorney, I'm subject not only to these RPCs, I'm also subject to the local government ethics law. Under the RPCs, and you can get a conflict waived and there's no longer an appearance of conflict. Under the local government ethics law, we still have the appearance of conflict, and there's certain conflict that can't be waived. So just whatever testimony or whatever you're going to hear, this just involves between private attorneys, not an attorney representing the board.
Just again, objective relevance.
Yeah, and
same response.
Okay, let's hear the response, and now we're getting into whether or not he has a conflict of interest, which if he did, presumably, someone could report him to the appropriate board. But what does this have? But what does this have to do with whether or not NAR had standing to file that application in front of the planning board?
It has to do with whether or not NAR has standing, because it has to do with whether or not NAR has an enforceable proprietary interest, and whether or not that contract is enforceable has a lot to do with whether he had a conflict of interest.
Okay, so what you're saying is that if there was a conflict of interest, the contract would arguably is not enforceable. If it's not enforceable, they would lose their standing?
Correct.
Just speculative.
Not speculative at all. That's actually pretty clear.
My advice to the board is, again, let's see where this thing is going. For now, I would say that using 026 to question the witness could be relevant. It could lead to relevant testimony. So my suggestion and recommendation is to overrule the objection for now.
Objection overruled.
All right, Mr. Mariner, are you familiar with this rule?
Yes.
Do you believe that your representation of NAR and the stock listed agreement signed by Raw Master Shishio was a confirmed conflict of interest?
Absolutely not.
Was NAR's interest as seller under the stock purchase agreement directly adverse to the interest of your other client, Raw Master Shishio?
You got to go slow.
Stop you. When you read from the document, people tend to speak faster. I understand that, but
I just don't want to work so hard tonight. I don't mind admiring. So I'm just going to work. All set?
Yep, go ahead, Dave.
Okay. What was NAR's interest as seller under the stock purchase agreement directly adverse to the interest of your other client, Ramesh Manwani, as buyer under the stock purchase agreement?
Absolutely not.
The buyer and seller did not have adverse interests in that transaction.
Correct.
That was beautiful, by the way. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Do you believe that in a real estate transaction that the buyer and seller of a real estate property are not adverse in the sense of the professional rules of conduct?
You are mischaracterizing this as a real estate transaction. This was a stock purchase, so both people came to me and wanted something done. They both wanted to trade this for that. That's a very clear transaction that everyone wants to occur. That is under the government.
So wouldn't the same be true if the seller of a house and the buyer of the house said, I want to give him money, the seller, for his house, and the seller says, I want to give him my house for money. So they both are clearly on the same page. Could the same lawyer represent both of them and they wouldn't have a conflict of interest?
I think yes. I think that happens all the time, where the dad selling to his daughter, and they both come and say, one lawyer do the transfer. I think that happens all the time, yes.
I didn't say anything about it.
I'm giving an example.
All right, let's look at under subsection lowercase b1 of this RTC 1.7, it says, when the lawyer represents multiple clients in a single matter, the consultation shall include an explanation of the common representation and the advantages and risks involved, and that each client's informed consent must be confirmed in writing. You believe that you did not have to provide the explanation required by what I just read to Ramesh Manwani and NAR?
I believe I gave all required instructions and explanations without going into attorney's client information and what I discussed with them. I believe it was all required instructions, and also, again, this is not an arm's length transaction or a conflict transaction. It's still father and son.
That's your opinion, right? And you also had a personal investment in NAR at the time, correct?
I don't know the exact date on which I received the stuff. I have the promise of personal I never actually invested in the question.
Well, you said you never invested any money at any time, but that you were bidding your services in exchange for stock, and that dated back to 2019, correct?
I did give services, yes.
For stock?
For a promise of future stock, yes.
Right. Well, let's now
them, but don't hand it out to the board yet.
Between the NAR Group and Ramesh and Wine, obtained again from the CRC, redactions being by the CRC.
Okay, so I see on the first page the NAR Group. Tell me where I see Ramesh and Wine.
Well,
I see Rachna Manglani's name on the last page. I don't see Ramesh Manglani's name.
That's because it's been blocked out.
Well, how do you know his name was under there?
Well, let me ask a question about it.
Okay, so for identification purposes, 027 is a letter of intent which Mr. Webb has made a representation he obtained from the CRC with an OPA request, and it came back redacted. The first paragraph, it's a letter of intent between the NAR Group purchaser and we don't know who yet. And again, I'm going to ask, is that with Ms. Jennings? And she can hand these out, I assume, and use for questions, but we have not. We'll see if he knows whether or not Ramesh Manglani names on this. Agreed?
Sure.
Whoever came in the room last, can you please shut that door because we can hear noise through it. It was shut. Someone came in and left the door open. Thank you. Oh. Can't hear you.
I'm loading and loading equipment into a closet. They need to have it open.
No. The door to the corridor has to be open?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're taking stuff out of the closet and bringing it.
All right. My apologies.
I'd like to object to this because you read page 2. Confidentiality. The seller, purchaser, and their agents shall maintain confidentiality of the parties' terms and conditions of this letter, and the negotiation may follow according to this state court.
Okay, and that's why it presumably was redacted. So I don't understand your objection on that basis. If it wasn't redacted, I would agree with you. But it's been redacted to keep that confidential, although the redactor screwed up and left Roxana's Manglani's name on it, so you can complain to them about that. So my advice to the board is to overrule that objection.
Objection overruled.
Have you ever seen this letter of intent before?
Not at all.
Are you aware that NAR filed an application to the CRC for a medical cannabis cultivation permit in Rodolfo, this was 2019.
I'm aware that they filed, yes.
Are you aware that as part of that application, they had to identify a piece of real estate that they had the ability to control that was suitable for the development that they were proposing at the cannabis corporation? So,
no, I'm not aware of that.
I'm not aware of that. Okay. Well, let's look again at A86.
6 in front of you.
If you remember the last time we were here, we had a discussion about this. And I asked you about this, the paragraph on the second page beginning with all capital letters whereas, which says that the director and chief executive officer of the corporation has information that a particular person may have both organizational skills and opportunities to obtain the right to lawfully cultivate cannabis and may have an opportunity to utilize land in Lebanon Township in Jersey. The polish company may be able to cultivate cannabis in an ideal setting for land. And at that time, you indicated that you believed that Ramesh meant flying with that person.
I said, I think, but I don't know. And I still say, I don't actually know. It could have been one of the three different people, if not more. I don't actually know. I think so, but that was just a guess.
So, in February of 2019, they've identified land in Lebanon Township. In August of 2019, there's been all kinds of testimony about meetings with public officials in Lebanon Township about land at 62 Anthony Road. They filed an application for a permit in August of 2019, which they have to identify real estate. An over request from CRC.
He's laying the foundation.
An over request from the CRC, an over response from the CRC, produces this letter of intent concerning real estate. Clearly, as part of that application, and submitted as part of that application. Is there any reason to think this doesn't concern the land 62 Anthony Road?
I have no idea. You're asking me to guess?
No, I'm not asking you to guess.
We want to know, do you have any reason? Can you ask the very end of the question again?
Do you have any reason to believe that this letter of intent does not concern the property of 62 Anthony Road?
I don't know. I don't know if
that's not the question.
The answer is I don't know.
He said, do you have any reason to believe it doesn't? Do you have a reason to believe it doesn't?
I don't.
That's how you answer the question.
Looking at this letter of intent,
have you ever seen this letter of intent redacted or unredacted before tonight?
As I said, no, I don't recall I've ever seen it before.
Go ahead, ask him questions. He has not seen this before tonight.
Yeah. Second page, you see where the heading says transfer?
How do you see where it says transfer?
So this letter of intent provided that the transfer would be by special warranty deed or the equivalent thereof in the state where the property is located, parentheses, New Jersey, correct?
I can see where it says that.
You see the next heading that says closing? Closing shall occur on a date mutually acceptable to purchaser and seller no later than January 2nd, 2020.
I can see what is that.
You see at the bottom of that page, the last text paragraph says the above items are the general business terms and conditions to be covered in the purchase and sale agreement, which would be submitted to the seller.
I can see what is that.
Two To your knowledge, did Ramesh Nandwani and NAR ever sign a purchase and sale agreement pursuant to this letter of intent?
The question is two facts mixed together. I know that they signed the purchase agreement that we have May 76. Was it pursuant to this letter of intent? I don't know. Not that I know.
He asked you, did they sign a purchase and sale agreement? He didn't ask you, did they sign a stock purchase agreement? Do you know whether or not they signed a purchase and sale agreement? Yes or no?
No.
No, you don't know.
No, I do not.
I'm not taking over his questioning. I'm trying to speed this along a little.
I appreciate that.
To your knowledge, did Ramesh Nandwani and NAR enter into any extension of a letter of intent or any other agreement concerning the sale of the property prior to October 15, 2021?
Not that.
No. Okay. Let's look now at A2. Satisfied by NAR. Please read into the record number paragraph 2.
If accepted within 20 business days from the date of award, the awardee shall confirm in writing that still has site control and local approval for the endorsement. An awardee without both the site control and local approval after 20 business days will have its award rescinded.
The letter says that NAR must demonstrate that it, in the words used, still has site control.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's what it says.
That's correct. So as of October 15, 2021, did NAR own the property of 62 Anthony Road?
Listen to his question. Repeat your question.
As of October 15, 2021, did NAR own the property of 62 Anthony Road?
He's not asking you, did they have site control. He's asking you, did they own the property? As of what date again?
October 15, 2021.
Not that I'm aware. You want to check the date on 876, but not that I'm aware.
876, December 22nd. So, for NAR to demonstrate that it still has site control suggests that they told the COC prior to this time that they did have site control. Do you agree with that?
It makes logical sense.
Was there, to your knowledge, any document signed by NAR and Ramesh Nandwani other than the letter of intent that established site control in NAR prior to October 15, 2021?
I don't know.
You don't really know of any other document?
Personally, I don't know of any other document.
Okay. this letter of intent was in fact signed by Ramesh Kanwani. Do you have any idea whether Ramesh Kanwani was represented by separate legal counsel from Lahr in that, signing that document?
O27. Do it by numbers when you pull it out.
I didn't write down the number, I'm sorry.
O27, a letter of intent.
Okay. I don't know who was represented by him or not.
Did you represent Lahr or Ramesh Kanwani in any way in connection with this letter of intent?
He said he didn't know about it. Objects, these questions.
I agree. He testified that the first time he's seeing this is tonight, that he never saw it before. Now you're asking him a question. I mean, the board's giving you a lot of leeway, having him read things from the document.
Okay, I'm moving on.
Excuse me,
can we
please shut the program?
It's outside.
I'm going to make it sound like I'm going to put it on both doors.
It's not in here.
I'm going to shut the door. Sir.
There we go. You're coming in. It's a little late.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Let's be nice.
Okay. Mr. Marion, you indicated at the last hearing session on January 10th that Washington Wine owned 100% of the outstanding stock in Lahr on February 11th, 2019, when Lahr adopted its organizational resolution, A86. Is that correct?
It is correct that she did. I don't recall making that representation, but yes, that would be correct information.
And I believe he said that Washington Wine was the sole shareholder at the time Lahr adopted the action by unanimous written consent of the Board of Directors on October 29, 2021, which authorized the Lahr stock order. Is that correct also?
Yeah, that is correct. I don't recall testifying to that.
Has Ramesh Kanwani been issued shares of Lahr other than the 795,000 shares purportedly issued to him pursuant to A82, the subscription agreement dated as of December 27, 2021?
Not that I'm aware.
Exhibit A80. Indicates that
Washington. Hold. Let everyone get to A80. A80 is the chart, right? And again, for the record, it's been identified as list of NAR investors / directors.
Okay, this exhibit indicates that Roshan Magwani now owns 56.45% of our shares, correct?
I do see where it indicates that when this was made, she owned 56.45%.
Okay, you said at the time this was made, you know when this was made?
But are you aware that Nitin Manglani had it admitted as an exhibit on December 6, 2023, and purported to say that this was the current investors and directors with the percent ownership? Looking for something. You testified Roshan Magwani owned 100% of the stock as of what date? Yes, sir.
The organizational,
which was August something? August 2019?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'd like to now have Mark for identification, the NAR Group Inc. application for cultivation endorsement part B, redacted, dated August 2019.
Okay, so this, again, looking at it, I'm going to take a guess, but you confirm. This was another OPA request to the CRC, and this is what they produced?
As redacted.
As redacted. So we're going to mark this as 028. It's titled on the top, the NAR Group Inc. Cultivation Endorsement Application Part B. And then it's dated August 2019 in the bottom right-hand corner, the NAR Group Inc. And then there's two lines which are redacted. Taking a quick peek through it, is this accurate that there looks to be, I'm going to take a guess, more than 30 pages that are totally blacked out?
Yes.
Okay.
And I may note that I'm only going to ask questions about very specific pages here.
But you wanted to give the whole document, I understand.
Well, no, I was told last time I asked for the whole
Correct.
Document. And so we have to
Correct.
Cut down a lot of trees so that we could hand out pages that are all blacked out.
That's the way to do it.
That's all right. That's why I did. So everyone understands.
What's objective? I don't believe the client has testified that had anything to do with bringing out the cultivation endorsement.
We're going
to
find out. When he asks them, he's going to say, have you seen this before? He's going to either say yes or no. And then he's going to, if he says no, he's going to ask them, are you, he's going to ask me a question. He's going to answer. He can't answer it far ahead. This is 028.
29.
028. And Mr. Webb, go for it.
Okay, Mr. Marion. First of all, look at the, what's the second page? It's after the cover page, and it's numbered page 2 in the upper right hand corner. Yeah, you see where it says a message from our CEO?
How do you see that?
And you see down below where it signs sincerely, Rajma Meghwani, CEO, CFO of the NAR Group?
How do you see that?
Okay. Please go to page 76.
76.
Do you have any idea who got the 83.11% of the shares in order between February 11th, 2019 and August of 2019.
I don't know the math or
the question. Okay, I'll give you the math. So she owned 100% in February of 2019, which you just testified to a few minutes ago, and she owed 16.89%. Very precise number, by the way, I point out. In August of 2019, the difference between those two numbers is 83.11%. So 83.11% of the stock went somewhere in that period of time. I'm asking you if you know where it went, who got it, or anything about it.
I don't know anything about it because I don't know who prepared this, but I also don't know what the distinction would be made between issued stock versus total authorized stock versus, I just don't know because I didn't write the stock. So I wrote the document.
Do you have any reason to know if any stock was issued to anyone other than Marshall McGuire in 2019?
I don't know if anyone for my active involvement with the promises or issued or anything else, but I don't personally know if anyone else on the side
of that. Would you agree that the statements that are on page 76 clearly suggest that others besides Russian men buying home stock in NAR as of the date of this document?
Again, no, because I don't know if it refers to issued stock versus total stock.
Well, it says, regardless of the term issues and offering, it says our CEO, Russian men buying owns, right? So that means it's issued, right? It has to be issued for her to own it, right?
For her to own it.
Okay. And then the next set says women investors and board members collectively own 34% of the company's share. So those have to be issued shares for them to own it, right?
That would be
So in your previous testimony, you said Ross was the sole shareholder when the company was formed, and she was sole shareholder in 2021 when he did the stock offering. And then we have this document in August of 2019 that says there's all these other people that have stock. And I'm trying to understand how that could be. And you're saying that you don't know.
Is that correct? You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Just for the record, Exhibit 028. I asked Mr. Weber to make this representation. If you look, cover pages 2 through 4, the next numbered page is page 68. I took a look at the blacked out pages. Is it correct that the CRC blacked out pages 5 through 67? So that, cut down the amount of paper in the board file, we can all agree that...
Well, 9 and 10.
Huh?
9 and 10?
Oh, sorry.
Home.
I missed 9 and 10. All right, listen, I'll go through. I'm going to go through.
14.
Okay.
15.
Never mind, I'll go through. So hold that. I'll have someone in my office count the pages and we'll cut down the size of the document for filing purposes, but the whole document had to be identified to be able to do that. So we're good. Keep on going. Identification as 029, and this again, your representation is that it was redacted by the CRC, but it doesn't look, it looks up on top, it says State of New Jersey Department of Health. So who redacted it? This was an Oprah.
Well, this was at a time, the jurisdiction of medical marijuana changed from the Department of Health to the CRC. And apparently at this point in time, it was still under the Department of Health.
Okay.
But then the request was to the CRC, who inherited their money.
Okay. So the representation is, even though the document is in the State of New Jersey Department of Health, this came to you via a response to an OPA request made to the CRC. Is that correct?
Correct.
And it's their redactions, their blackouts.
Correct.
Mark for identification is 029.
Person, their physician is listed. See, that's. Okay. I may be wrong, and you can count for yourself, but it looked to me like there were eight people whose names are blacked out, redacted, who are identified as infested. See that? You also see that in the column, the fourth column from the left, dates for each of those investors. It says that they were investors from January 1st, 2020 through the present. See that?
I didn't see that.
So this information seems to contradict what you said about Rostrum and Guani being Marconi's shareholder from NAR's inception in February 2019 to October 2021. You want to change your previous testimony about when NAR issued stock to its investors?
No, I believe in your representation is incorrect.
In what regard?
You said investor. Investor is anyone who is either promising to invest or actively investing in a company. Okay, if I gave you a dollar, I'm an investor. Doesn't mean I agree to take shares yet, doesn't mean I sign a subscription, it doesn't mean I have shares yet. It just means I'm putting money towards your company. That's what an investor is.
Okay, that's your story.
That's his testimony.
Okay. Okay.
Was
there a question pending I missed?
Based on the number of shares owned by Ramesh Nagwani and his percentage interest in NAR, since Rashna Nagwani owns 56.45% of the shares in NAR, she now owns approximately 3.4 million shares of stock. Is that correct?
I have no
idea. Well, if you took the number of shares that Ramesh was issued pursuant to the agreements that we discussed, and you would equate that to his percentage interest on AAD, and then you do the math to say, well, what would that, how many shares would Roshna have to have if she owns 56.45%? The math comes out to about 3.4 million shares. Would that be a reasonable way to approximate the number of shares that she owns?
No.
Why not?
Because it also doesn't address the issued shares versus the shares in the company that are not in the issue. So, so without having all that information, and especially that you can have, so I cannot agree.
Okay. The shares that are listed on A8, the ownership that's listed on A8, is that based on the number of shares that these people own of NAR?
It appears to me.
Okay. So Ramesh Nangwani owns 13.09% of the issued shares of NAR, correct?
That is correct.
So, and Rashid Nangwani owns 56.45% of the issued shares of NAR, correct?
That is what it is.
So if we knew how many shares have been issued to Ramesh Nangwani, we know, right, from the other documents that we've looked at?
We know what he was issued pursuant to those documents. It doesn't mean that's everything that he's issued. I can't testify to that. I said I don't know about that.
I'm sorry, we have to take a short break. Someone has to use the restroom.
I've eliminated all the totally blacked out pages. I just want to read into the record the pages of this document that are going to be in the board's file. The board secretary, take notes. Cover page, I'm reading the page numbers that are in the document. Cover page. And 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 28, 29, 48, 49, 54, 55, 68, then there's some unnumbered pages, but they follow in order. Unnumbered 69, unnumbered 70, unnumbered 71, unnumbered 72, numbered 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, unnumbered 78, numbered 79, 80, 81, 82, 83. Those pages are going to be documented in the record. The blacked out pages that I didn't mention the number of, I'm going to toss them. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Webb.
Okay. With the adjustment in the microphone, is this still an appropriate level?
Yes. You were appropriate last time, other than when you were yelling at us.
It's sometimes appropriate to yell. Not very often.
Okay, I agree.
It's spirited.
Spirited. You were right. At times.
Mr. Mayor, do you know who the members of NAR's board of directors are?
I can't name you at this moment. But I presume.
No, listen, he asked you, do you know? He just said, I don't know. Now you want to presume? Be my guest, but don't complain that the question is taking too long.
I don't know that we're going to take it now.
Do you know any of the members of the board of directors? Do you know who any of them are?
Of course. Rashi Mandwani and Ramesh Mandwani. Basically, everyone who's a shareholder.
Everyone who's a shareholder is on the board of directors?
I testified to this last time.
I'm sure you did, but that's what you're saying now, that everyone who is a shareholder is on the board of directors.
It's a director,
yes. Did they all become members of the board of directors immediately upon acquiring their shares?
No, they would have to be made a director by a vote that they can be included in the director's decisions at this point.
Now I'm not sure what you're saying. Are you saying they're on the board of directors or they're somehow included in the director decision?
The intent of the intent is that they're made a director if they have shares. I don't know if the actual meeting has occurred yet, but that is the intent.
Has to have marked for identification the certificate of formation of the NAR group and amendments filed with the New Jersey Secretary of State, downloaded from the Department of Treasury website on January 15, 2024.
Downloaded on the Department of Treasury website, what date?
January 15, 2024.
All the documents attached by staple, which are going to be identified as O30. What do you want to call this group of documents? Mr. Webb, what do you want to call this group of documents?
NAR
corporate documents?
NAR incorporation documents.
NAR incorporation documents, which were downloaded on January 15, 2024 from the New Jersey Department of Treasury website, correct?
Correct.
Not
Menard have a lease to occupy 62 Anthony Road on July 11th, 2019?
I don't know.
Do you know, you don't, you're unaware of any lease, correct?
I'm unaware.
Do you know by what authority Menard claims 62 Anthony Road is its main business address on July 11th, 2019?
His father was a part of Menard, so he could have given the control, access, site control, anything at any time. So, yeah, that would be the basis.
But those are really real estate issues. I mean, you said several times that you're not a real estate attorney, right?
You asked me, is there any basis? I said, yeah, the father could have given him control. He was part of Menard. That's right. Well, almost, that's right.
Let's look at the fourth page of this proposal. Okay. This is an amendment to NAR certificate, increasing the number of shares from 100,000 to 20 million on October 29th, 2021, correct?
Yes, it is.
Is this done in connection with the sale of stock authorized by the unanimous written consent of NAR Board of Directors on October 29th?
I don't know.
That, you don't know if that had anything to do with it?
I didn't file it, so no, I don't.
Would it have made sense if the corporation was approving a increase in their shares from 100,000 to 20 million that they would have to file a certificate?
To increase the number of shares, yes, they would. And then we file.
Yes, they need.
Yes, to increase the number of shares, 1,000 to 20 million.
What's the exhibit number of the prior documents that you mentioned? Not 029 that you're working on, 030 that you're working on right now. The reference in your question, what exhibit?
Reference to the approval by the board of the stock offering? I'm not sure which reference you're asking, honestly.
It's either, is it A? George, do you know what the exhibit number is? What's the date on the document that you referenced? You said NAR did not own, the estimate NAR owned the property on 7/11/2019. He said no, he asked him some other questions, and then you asked about stock ownership. Can you just repeat your last question?
You were asking me about a document that was referred to in an earlier question.
No, I'm asking you for a document that was referred to in your last question. If you didn't give the exhibit number, I'm trying to follow along and take notes on this so I know which end is up.
Okay.
I'm going to ask for a dreaded read back and then have the question on it. I believe
what you're looking for, I guess, is the reference to the unanimous written consent of NAR Board of Directors adopted on October 29, 2021.
Right. Do you know the exhibit number?
And I don't at this exact point. I can find it, but I don't have it written down.
No, that's February 11, 2019.
I don't need that there.
Give me the date on the document again, I'll find it later. What's the date? Yeah,
it's October 29, 2021.
You say it's unanimous consent of shareholders. Yes?
What it is it's a unanimous consent of the Board of Directors.
The Board of Directors. I'll find it. Sorry for the interruption. I'm just trying to follow along to get good notes. Keep on going, I'll find it.
All right, let's go to the fifth page of the exhibit that we're looking at now, which is 030. This is an amendment to NARS certificate filed on December 16, 2023, just a few weeks ago. It says that the officers and directors are amended to the following. Nitin Mangalani, Chief Operation Officer. See that?
I do see where it says that.
Was Nitin Mangalani not an officer or director prior to this time, December 16, 2023?
He was. I believe this is a change in his title from operating to operation.
So this, the whole purpose of this was to change his title?
I didn't file this item.
But to answer my question, was he a director? Was he on the board of directors prior to this time?
Yes.
Yes? Now, just below that, you see what it says, the docket proceedings, number six?
I see number six.
And you see where it says the number of shares outstanding at the time of adoption is 20 million. You see that?
Yes, I see that.
NARS did not have 20 million shares outstanding on December 16, 2023, did it?
That I'm aware of.
Pardon me?
Not that I'm aware of.
Then you see where it says right after that, voting for adoption, 100,000, voting against, 100,000. See that?
I do see that.
Was it a tie vote?
It appears to be a typo, yeah.
Oh, you think it's a typo? Okay. Can you read on this same page at the top the second sentence in that first paragraph?
The filer is responsible for ensuring strict compliance with NJSA 14A colon 9-2.
Is that 9-2?
9-2.
And the filer of this certificate was Rossi Mangalani, correct?
That is what it says.
So the certificate is incorrect in two respects, both the number of shares outstanding and the voting for and voting against, correct?
It appears to be.
By the way, Nitin Mangalani stays here on November 29th, 2023. This is transcript page 75, lines 4 to 5. That NAR has 50 million shares of stock. Now, I don't know whether he meant by that, what he meant by that exactly, but he used the term 50 million. NAR doesn't have 50 million shares of stock. But not that. Now let's look at the sixth and final page of this. So this is filed 3 days after the last amendment that we just discussed. At this point, it again says the shares outstanding at time of adoption. 20 million, right?
That is what it says.
Now this time though, it does say voting for $6 million. Voting against zero.
I do see that.
Does that number seem correct to you?
I don't know. I have no reason to believe that it is or isn't. I have to check. But it needs to be squared. I have nothing to do with preparing for documents.
I have nothing to do
with preparing the documents.
So do you know who does or who did?
Well, it's labeled. Russian, you know, I don't know if she personally filed it, but that's the name on the bottom.
Now this certificate of amendment dated December 19th, 2023 says it was approved by shareholders owning 6 million shares. Do you know what more about the written vote of all shareholders listed on Exhibit A80 to approve this amendment?
I do not.
Look at Exhibit A102, please. Section which is titled Revocable Proxy.
If this agreement is for the purchase of less than 61,000 shares, I hereby appoint Vikas Sone to appear, that is VIKASSONE, to appear for me at shareholder meetings and vote my shares and on my behalf at all such meetings.
Who is Vikas Sone?
He is also a part of the company.
Part of the company, so that can mean a lot of things. Is he a shareholder?
I believe so, but I will check the shareholder exhibit.
Exhibit A80.
Thank you. Yes, he is the fourth name down on Exhibit 18. This is a CRO.
Is he an officer in the corporation?
Yes.
What's his title?
CRO.
Is that Chief Regulatory Officer?
I don't know if it was ever delineated whether it's regulatory or revenue.
Okay, let's look again at Exhibit A82.
Okay, then I have A82 in front of me.
This is the restricted share subscription agreement of Ramesh Manglani. And let's look at Section 19, again, titled Revocable Proxy. This is the same language as in Section 20 of A102, the share subscription agreement of David Kushner. Correct?
Yes.
Is this standard proxy language in all share subscription agreements signed by shareholders of Mark?
Form of it there, yes.
Well, that would be the only form, right, that they use?
As far as I know.
So this was this language in the shared subscription agreement signed by Nick Mangani?
There would be every subscription agreement that used this form.
Now, since NAR says that it issued 795,000 shares for Ron Eshton and Ron, his shares would not automatically be voted by proxy pursuant to this provision, correct?
Correct.
Is it true to say that then that Ron Eshton and Ron and Rosh and Ron own or control the votes of 100% of the shares of NAR?
No.
Why not?
You just had me read that Pete Costone is the proxy voter for minority shareholders.
Okay. If Rosh and Meghwani owns 55% of NAR stock and Ramesh and Meghwani owns 13% of NAR stock, that means together, even without proxies, they control two-thirds of the voting shares in NAR. Is that true?
I don't have a calculator, but if you tell me it's true, I don't think it's true.
Well, 68% is more than two-thirds, right?
Yes, it is.
So as a result, they would be able to take any action requiring shareholder approval without regard for the vote of any other shareholder, correct?
Incorrect.
Which votes would they not be able to take?
There's a whole section of votes that need to be unanimous, like dissolving the corporation. There's typically a whole section of votes that have to be unanimous, like dissolving the company or selling all of its assets.
You're saying that's a provision of what, of law or of their certificate or bylaws or what? What's the source of that?
That is usually either in the bylaws or in the certificate of incorporation. I did not see it in the certificate just now.
You did not see it?
In the certificate of incorporation.
Okay. You see it in the bylaws?
I have not reviewed the bylaws for that provision.
So other than your belief that somewhere in the certificate or the bylaws there could be a provision that requires unanimous vote of shareholders to dissolve, what other actions requiring shareholder approval would require more than a two-thirds vote?
Typically, other than dissolution, we would also need that to encumber all of the assets, to trade all of the assets. You don't want someone to sell all the assets of the company and leave you holding shares that are valuable.
So you're saying it requires more than a two-thirds vote?
Typically, those are written in unanimous.
Typically, in what? In organizational documents?
In small corporations, those were written into bylaws commonly.
Okay. Okay, I'm now going to show you a letter written by you to the Lebanon Township Committee and Council of the Township of Lebanon, dated August 18, 2021.
This is going to be marked as 031 for identification. And this is on the letterhead of Marion and Allen PC. It's addressed to the Township Committee and Council of the Township of Lebanon, and it's signed by Roger K. Marion. Did I mention the date, August 18, 2021, or did you?
I did. Do you have a letter, Mr. Marion?
I do. I'm sorry, what was the number?
031. Do you recognize this as your letter?
Yes.
Do Did you sign and send this letter to the Lebanon Township Committee on August 18th, 2021?
Yes.
The first thing I noticed in this letter is that the very first sentence of the letter, we say, I represent the NAR Group, Inc., the lessor of a property at 62 Anthony Road in Lebanon County. Was NAR the lessor of 62 Anthony Road on August 18th, 2021?
I believe that they were. They were the lessor, not by a written lease, but they were the lessor by the fact that they were given possession of the property by Amish and Warren in return for promises of inclusion in the NAR Group. So when we give use of a property for compensation, that would be a lessor.
Was that written down anywhere?
The use has been written, so yes, it's written right here.
You want to know if there's a written lease?
No, I read testimony.
No written lease. And by the way, in that transaction you just described, NAR would be the lessee, wouldn't they? Not the lessor.
If I have my old English messed up, I'm so sorry.
Well, you can understand that it might have been confusing to the town that NAR would be identified by the by NAR's lawyer as the lessor, which ordinarily means the owner of the property. You rent something, you're renting from the lessor, the owner, and you're the lessee as the tenant. So you were representing to them essentially that NAR owned the property by identifying yourself as representing the lessor of the property. Do you understand that?
I do not believe I was intentionally misrepresenting anything.
I didn't say it was intentional. I didn't answer to it with that. I asked you if you understand that would be the impression left.
I don't know if they understand both English to that extent either. I don't know what they thought. Are you asking what they thought? I don't know.
Okay, let's move on. Without reading this letter into the record in its entirety, would it be fair to say that on behalf of NAR, you were asking the Township Committee not to adopt the proposed ordinance that was to be considered by the Township Committee on the night of August 18, 2021?
That would be fair.
And the ordinance to be considered on that night that you were writing about was already introduced as Exhibit 815. That's ordinance number 2021-07, correct?
I'm trying to see if I referenced the ordinance. I don't remember the ordinance number I was writing about. Yeah. Ordinance 2021-07.
And that ordinance 2021-07 that you were writing about in this letter, and you were asking the Council Committee not to adopt, that ordinance was in fact adopted by the committee that night as proposed, despite your letter, correct?
Yes.
You agree that ordinance number 2021-07 is now embodied in the Lebanon Township zoning ordinance at section 400-9 use regulation?
I do not know that, no.
Okay. Let's mark for identification Lebanon Township ordinance section 400-9. This is downloaded from the Township website.
We're going to mark this for identification as 032. And again, it appears on its face to be printout from the Township's website. I'm going to ask Ms. Jennings if she has any objection to it in its current form.
Well, subject to it on an hour later, we can proceed.
Okay.
Please look at let's wait a second, I told everyone I had a copy.
Last question.
Was there a question pending? I'm sorry.
You asked if the ordinance was embodied as this regulation.
Yes.
The answer is obviously not. It says that this is the embodiment of 10 separate ordinances at the top of the page.
Is it among the ordinances that are embodied in this regulation?
It is one of the 10, yes.
It's the second to last. It's number 9, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Identification of minutes of the meeting of the Lebanon Township Committee on August 18, 2021, again downloaded from the Township website.
And again, same thing to Ms. Jennings, that we're going to assume that this is an accurate copy of the minutes for purposes of any questions on it. If it's not, we'll bring it to our attention. But, so we're going to mark this for identification as 033, and again, all of these governmental documents, at some point, the objector is going to ask that the board take judicial notice of them. And it's going to be my advice that the board accept that. And this is going to be 033, because 032 is the copy of ordinance. That's 032, because 031 was the letter from Mr. Marion. Just saying that for the benefit of a board member.
Okay, Mr. Marion.
One other thing, it's 033, it wasn't, it purports to be regular minutes from August 18, 2021, and then something else. Is the something else a separate exhibit? Or is it part of?
Oh, no, okay, let me explain that. So, originally, it was my intent to introduce only the first 5 pages because those were the only pages I was going to ask Mr. Marion about. But in light of the discussion at the last meeting, which required the entire document to be produced, I produced the remainder of the document. But because it was too difficult to staple them all together, they appear to you as 2 separate documents bound by a binder clip. But it is all one and the same document.
Thank you.
I'm not signing them, so could I take them to notify?
Put it this way, you have the opportunity to check and object to it at the time when he asks the board to take judicial notice of it. Right now, we're going to accept the representation that it's from the township website. Now, if the township website minutes aren't signed, that, in my opinion, does not prevent the board from taking judicial notice of them. That might be some problem that the township's having, but if the township put them up on the website, I don't know the significance of that, but maybe they don't have a signed version. I don't know. We'd have to then go to the next meeting and see if they were the minutes were adopted.
Okay, Mr. Marion, I'm going to ask you now to look back at 031, your letter of August 18, 2021, and to please read into the record the entirety of the first paragraph.
I represent Bernard Group Inc., the lesser of the property at 62 Anthony Road in Lebanon Township. I write to you because I have seen a proposal of ordinance 2021-07, proposed ordinance, allegedly to be voted upon for passage at a meeting on August 18, 2021. For the reasons set forth below and at tonight's meeting, the proposed ordinance should not be permitted to pass.
Now, could you please read on the second page of this letter the first sentence in the first paragraph?
The proposed ordinance would terminate my client's right to develop the land for its intended and disclosed purpose.
Now, could you please read the third sentence in the second paragraph on page 2. So that would be the sentence beginning with the word if.
If the proposed ordinance? Is that the one?
Okay, so we'll get the second paragraph on the second page. The third sentence, which is the sentence beginning with the word if, words if you pass.
If you pass the proposed ordinance without amendment, it strikes my client's license, and a future amendment to your ordinance will not restore this license opportunity. The opportunity to host this highly taxable business would be lost.
Thank you. So now let's come to the minutes of the township committee meeting. Mark as 033. And you attended this meeting, correct?
Yes, I believe I did.
Please read into the record the portion of these minutes beginning with the last paragraph on page one, which starts with your name, and continuing on to the first three lines on page two.
Roger Marion Esquire provided comments on behalf of his client, Bernard, who is the commercial lessor of 62 Anthony Road. Mr. Marion informed the committee that the proposed campus ordinance will restrict his client from the growing of cannabis for agricultural uses in the township. Mr. Marion informs the committee of his interpretation of the law and the impact of the ordinance will have on his client's ability to obtain a license from the state.
Thank you. So on August 18th, 2021, as indicated by your letter to the committee and your statements at the committee meeting, it was your opinion that Ordinance 2021-07 prohibited the cultivation of medical marijuana in Lebanon Township, correct?
I'm sorry, but your time overarches a time where the answer is yes and a time where the answer is no. At the beginning,
no, it's one date.
He yes, said, sir. May I explain?
Yeah, on August 18th, he's asking.
At the beginning of the meeting, the way it was originally written, the answer is yes. By the end of the meeting, the township attorney had given his opinion that it will have no effect on medical marijuana, that it was solely as to recreational marijuana, and therefore it would have no effect on the NAR group. That was a hotly contested issue that was said on the minutes, and that is why, by the end of that, it appeared that it would not affect their passage, would not then, as qualified during that meeting, affect Mr. Monroe.
But he asked you what was your opinion on the 18th, not what
that was my opinion,
not what the township attorney said. Huh?
That was my opinion at the beginning of the meeting and the different opinion I had at the end of that meeting.
So you adopted the township attorney's opinion?
Yes, because
did it say that in the minutes?
I don't know, I haven't read these minutes, but what I see is someone's notes minutes. I don't see actual
well, this is not minutes, you're right. These are minutes. This is not a transcript. Does it reflect in the minutes that you changed your opinion?
Not what I say.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I haven't read the whole thing.
He's not talking to him. He's just,
okay,
for the record, Mitten is pointing out to him what to quote from, okay, which is almost as bad, or probably as bad as talking to him.
He's the applicant.
He's allowed to sit next to him. He's not allowed to talk to him. He's not allowed to point things out that are in any of the documents. And anything that you're saying now, unfortunately, is not getting recorded by the court reporter because you haven't been recognized.
Okay, let's go back to Mr. Marion's testimony. So, Mr. Marion, I'm not asking you.
Your voice volume.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I'm not asking you what Matt Lyons said. Okay, we're going to talk a lot later on about what Matt Lyons said, what he said a year later.
And this is all relevant to the interpretation.
Yeah.
Very relevant. This is highly relevant, in my opinion.
So, I don't want you to tell me what Matt Lyons said or how what you thought of what Matt Lyons said. I'm asking you that at the time you wrote this letter, and based on the remarks that were reflected, I understand it's not a transcript, but that were reflected in the minutes. Prior to this meeting and at the inception of the meeting, it was your opinion that this ordinance prohibited the cultivation of medical marijuana in Lebanon County.
Full marijuana, yes.
Full marijuana.
Yes.
Full marijuana.
That was my opinion.
That's what he said.
Ask and answer.
Would you be surprised to learn that the voice recording of this meeting, in the voice recording of this meeting, after Matt Lyons gave his opinion that the board lacked jurisdiction to regulate medical marijuana, you very definitively disagreed with him on the record and said, quote, there is no licensure under the Compassionate Care Act for growth. That act doesn't provide for it. I wrote these down after listening to your words. Would you be surprised if that's true?
I wouldn't be surprised if I said something like that.
So that's after hearing the explanation from Matt Lyons, which you a few moments ago said persuaded you. At the time, you actually said you very definitively disagreed with him. Mm-hmm. That's what you said at the time.
The statement you just read is regarding the meaning of the Compassionate Care Act. It is not the deciphering of this particular ordinance.
I don't know why you said what you said, Mr. Marion. Those were your words.
Yes.
I don't know why you brought that up in that context, but you were just debating Mr. Lyons at the time about his advice or his opinion that the ordinance would not regulate medical marijuana. You were taking the opposite position from Mr. Lawrence. Do you recall doing that? Do you recall taking the opposite position?
What you're reading and what you're saying are two different things.
Listen, he asked
answer the question.
I can't answer a question that's false and he's facts in the question.
He said, do you recall taking the opposite position?
Regarding what?
Regarding whether we
regarding the Compassionate Care Act? Yes, I do remember disagreeing as to his interpretation of the Compassionate Care Act.
No, the question was, do you recall disagreeing with Mr. Lyons that the ordinance being proposed, 07, would not regulate medical marijuana? It was his opinion that it
no,
would
no,
not.
Don't ask the first part of the question and let him answer.
All right, go ahead.
I don't recall the whole debate.
You don't recall what?
The whole debate. You're asking me line by line what I agree or disagree with at particular moments in the debate. I don't recall.
All right, let's move on to another point in your letter. In your letter to the Township Committee on August 18, 2021, 031, can you please read into the record the sentence starting at the end of the fourth line of the third paragraph on page 1? This begins with the words, after all.
After all, the project is projected to pay $2,500 per year into the Lebanon tax base.
Read that again?
That is the sentence he asked me to
read. Read it again.
The dollar amount.
After all, the project is projected to pay $250,000 per year into the Lebanon tax base.
Right, that's what he said. You realize what you said before? Okay. You didn't say that. Now you said it correctly.
Okay. Sorry if I had a misread.
Is this the same tax revenue that Nitin Mangwani has asserted several times in this hearing, allegedly on the basis of New Jersey Statute 40:48(i)(1), previously marked as 831?
I was not present for that particular testimony, but I will tell you that there was greater taxation, I believe, of marijuana. That when you're arguing this, certain portion of it did terminate at a certain date. So the township, because of your objections, permanently missed out on that money.
Well, earlier in these proceedings, NARC has introduced A31, New Jersey statute. 40:48(i)-1 as the source of Lebanon Township's ability to impose a 2% gross revenue tax on Mars. today, now. I'm sort of just in head. You understand that?
I understand what you just said.
Look at section. Look at, do you have 831?
I have 831.
Look at those.
Eight thirty-one is the copy of NJSA 40:48I-1, correct?
That's correct.
And
this is the statute introduced by NAR as proof that that the township will obtain a 2% tax revenue from NAR.
You're going to be directing his attention to page 3, the very last line. Are you going to be directing his attention to page 3, the very last line? If you
no,
are,
no.
Just tell him.
I'm directing his attention to page 2.
I have 831 in front of me. I'm on page 2.
Look at page 2 at the very bottom, subsection 4, case D is in door.
I do see it.
Okay. So do you see where in this section the terms cannabis and cannabis cultivator are defined as having the same meaning as in another statute, 24:6I-33.
Yes, I do see that.
Okay. So now, NAR provided this statute, 831, but did not provide that other statute with the definitions of these terms that are used in this statute. So let's look at that other statute that contains the definitions that you have to have in order to interpret this statute.
To interpret this statute.
Thank you.
No problem. This is going to be marked as 034, and it purports to be a reprint or case text of NJSA 24:6I-33.
NAR, or the product they sell, or the revenue from that product. Do you agree?
I would not, because of the word dispense. It says, does not include stuff that dispense for the patients. In other words, you're not going to have a second layer of taxation. He is a wholesaler, a producer. He'd be selling it to, for example, private.
So you think that, so you think that NARS Enterprise is governed by CREMA?
What are you reading? I'm not a pop.
The recreational marijuana law.
No, this is not recreational.
So you don't think that this definition of cannabis was intended to differentiate between medical cannabis and recreational cannabis?
You're asking the intention of someone else. I don't know what that other people is.
I'm asking you about your interpretation of this definition of cannabis in the statute. I ask you about what's in anybody's mind.
I've not taken the time to legally research how this definition applies to all the rest of cannabis law, so I don't know how to interpret it. Within the whole body of cannabis.
But your interpretation then, today anyway, is that cannabis does include medical cannabis, except for cannabis dispense.
According to this statute, yes.
Does NAR hold a Class 1 cannabis cultivator license?
I'm not sure. I'm not very personal.
If NAR does not hold a Class 1 cannabis cultivator license, that would mean then that they are not a cannabis cultivator for purposes of 831, the tax, the one that imposes the 2% tax, correct?
I don't know. I'm not with those statutes side by side.
Well, we're doing that right now. We're putting them side by side right now.
No interpretations. I'm not an expert in cannabis law.
I didn't ask you to be an expert in
cannabis. Mr.
Grove. He asked you, what does the statute say?
And I read it.
Okay, so does it not say this person or entity shall hold a Class 1 cannabis cultivator license, yes or no? That's what it says, correct?
Yes, I believe it does say.
He asked you, do they hold a Class 1 license? You said, I don't know, correct?
Yes, also. Yes.
But you don't know, and I'm saying, if you assume that they don't hold a Class 1 cannabis cultivator license, are they not excluded from the reference?
What he's asking you, if they don't have a Class 1 license, then the township wouldn't get the tax revenue under 40:48(i-1) by virtue of the definition found in 24:6(i-33), correct?
That's what he's saying, and I actually don't know because I haven't read the case law.
There's no case law.
Right. No. Okay. Does the statute seem to indicate that?
It seems to. I don't know.
Okay, let's move on from that. Now going to have Marketing Administration an email obtained by Oprah.
It says 035. This is it. Purports to be a copy of an email from Tara Santangelo to Steven Ruhenberg,
correct,
dated November 1, 2021. And Ms. Jennings, assuming that this email is an accurate copy, this 035 is an accurate copy of the email from Santangelo to Ruhenberg, I assume that you have no objection to authenticity of the email.
correct?
Well, I don't have any objection to that, but I guess I have an objection to the relevance. And Steve and Tara aren't here, so I don't know what he's going to be asking my client about.
Well, I assume the relevance is all, it's all on the interpretation. Anything between San Angelo and Gruenberg, you know. Or him or Mitten, and they're at the Catholic Committee meeting, it's all relevant to the interpretation. You would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have, we'll hear about it, but
yeah.
That's what I assume it is. And in my opinion, this is relevant to the interpretation.
I agree. We're going to have to take the 10-minute break, so we'll return back at 9:35. Thank you. Please have your seat.
I just want to begin my objection to 035. Mr. Bogner has not engineered any expertise.
Mike,
Mike, turn yours up.
Yeah, he has not had any expertise or been sworn in as an expert in cannabis. This is way far afield of his direct testimony, which dealt with all of the subscription agreements and investors' information. So much of the testimony and the cross-examination relates to those documents. But this is nothing that was in his direct testimony. He has not held himself out as a cannabis attorney. I don't think this is an appropriate line of questioning.
Again, I assume he's going to ask him if he knows anything about this stuff. If he says no, he doesn't. If he does, I think it's relevant to the interpretation question. And let me ask you, what did you bring him as an expert for?
We just brought him in as general counsel for the subscription agreements, the investor's representation, items A, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 89.
Okay, because in his letter, Mr. Weber asked him, in his letter he refers to this taxes that the township's going to get. So I think he's entitled to ask him what the basis for that in his letter was, and part of that may be in his email, and part of it was in the statute he asked him about. So again, my recommendation, my advice is to overrule the objection and see where it goes. If it goes too far afield, object again, and we'll reconsider it. What do you think?
Objection overruled.
Okay. Mr. Marin, we've had quite a bit of time now to review this 035. Your letter did indicate your belief when you wrote it that Lebanon Township was going to enjoy a 2% gross revenue tax from large sales. Looking at this 035, this is an email from former township attorney Paris Angelo to former NAR attorney Stephen Gruenberg on Monday, November 1st, 2021. Can you please read into the record the second paragraph beginning as to the issue of taxes?
As to the issue of taxes?
Taxes.
The letter says, as to the issue of taxes, the relevant portions of CUMMA, specifically NJSA 24:6, looks like an I-10, are set forth below. The state taxes sunset in July 2022. The municipal transfer tax, which can stay in place, seems to only apply to medical dispensaries. That is the end of the paragraph.
Okay. So would you agree then that at least as of November 1st, 2021, NAR was on notice that the township had concluded that the 2% municipal tax did not exist as far as NAR's operations were concerned?
I believe that they were on notice that Tara St. Angelo had come to that conclusion.
Well, Laura liked a lot of things Tara St. Angelo said in the past. Did they like this?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I said, Nora, I like a lot of things that Tara St. Angelo has said in the past. Is for some reason they don't like this, or they don't agree with this?
I didn't say they don't like it. I didn't say they don't agree with it. I said I have no basis to agree or disagree with it. I haven't done that research.
Okay. All right. Let's now move on to another topic. In connection with the offering of shares in NAR that was approved by the board of NAR in October of 21, and that resulted in the subscription agreements that have been the subject of much discussion here, did you do any due diligence concerning NAR's ability to conduct the business for which they were raising capital?
I don't know what you would qualify as due diligence. I was satisfied that they would be able to produce a very good and profitable facility.
In your due diligence, did you become familiar with what has been introduced by NAR in these proceedings as A5, a letter from former Township Attorney Tara St. Angelo to NAR Attorney Stephen Bloomberg, dated August 9, 2019? This letter to the Cannabis Regulatory Commission as evidence that NAR had local support as required by CRC regulations for the award of a medical cannabis permit?
I'm not aware of that.
Are you aware that prior to sending the letter identified as A5, former Township Attorney St. Angelo on that same afternoon, earlier that afternoon, sent a different letter to NAR Attorney Stephen Bloomberg?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. You're not aware of that?
No.
No one's ever mentioned that to you.
You just did. That's the
first. That's it.
It's going to be marked for identification as 036. I assume this is a letter from Tara St. Angelo to Steve Bloomberg, dated August 9, 2019. I'm going to assume this is the earlier version of the letter you just asked him about that he said he didn't know anything about.
Correct.
Well, again, the question is not whether he knows anything about it, because he's going to ask him. The question is, do you have any objections to the authenticity of his letter? You find some, this one matches the letter that's already in evidence, one of the eight exhibits. Mm-hmm. You realize that this, Mr. Webb, do you know that this letter is in evidence, that's an eight.
What is it, A what?
Eight, no, this is a different version. This is not A5, this is attached to some other document. Let's just see if we can find it, we can save ourselves an exhibit. I don't know if it's worth the time trying to find it. Listen, we're going to spend more time trying to
let's
see if we're on. Same date as the other letter, August 9, 2019. You'll shortly hear what the differences in the letter are, which the board has already heard because the chair actually questioned one of the other witnesses on the third point.
Baron, do you have O 36?
I have O 36.
And please read the last sentence on the first page.
Additionally, please be advised, this is the letter says, please be advised that this letter should not be construed as proof of local support pursuant to NJSA 24.6I.7.2 subsection B, subsection 4, subsection C.
Okay, now look again at Exhibit 8.5, previously introduced by Nora. Okay, so if you look at the last paragraph on page 1 of that letter, do you see that the sentence that you just read, beginning additionally, is omitted from the letter that's been offered as A5?
That sentence is not on A5.
It's not part of A5, right?
Correct.
So looking now at O36, hold on one second, please.
I assume you're going to put in this one mark for identification, O37, a copy of the email. That's, again, already in age. It's already in age, is it? But that's all right.
Great minds think alike.
And again, Ms. Jennings, we just marked it 037. It's already in age, isn't
yes.
it? So I assume you'll know.
Okay.
I believe 838. I believe 838 had. Yes. One of the documents attached to Exhibit 838 is what you just had marked as 036. And where did I see this email? Is that also attached to 838? No,
I'm ready. I'll book the last next time.
Well,
keep on
marked it separately. You know?
Yeah, that's correct.
I prefer to have it marked as a separate box.
I understand. We marked it as a separate document. O37.
Okay, so now let's look at O37. This is an email from former Township Attorney Paris St. Angelo, again to Mr. Gruenberger, and sent Friday, August 9, 2019 at 1:05 p.m. See that?
I see where you're reading from.
You see what I just read?
I guess what I just said, yes.
Could you read this email, please?
The piece of paper is handed me says, Steve, as discussed yesterday, attached with a letter regarding the operation of a marijuana growing facility on your client's property. Please feel free to contact me if you have any questions or concerns regarding the letter. Additionally, I electronically signed the letter, so feel free to attach this email to your client's application if needed for verification purposes. That's terracing it.
Whatever you said at the end, none of us heard you.
And her jurat, her signature line.
Okay, look now again at 036, the letter from Paris and Angel, August 9th.
I have 036.
So this is the letter that has the sentence you read earlier about not being construed as proof of local support. Look at the letter on page 2, it's signed by Paris and Angel, correct?
I see a computer typed name S. Tara Ann St. Angelo. I don't know if she put that there or
if this is indeed the copy.
Did he ask you that?
He asked me if it was a signature or not.
Yes. Is Tara San Angelo's signature at the end of the letter, not knowing who put it there?
No, it's a typewritten.
So is that an electronic signature? To the best of your knowledge?
It could be if she wrote it, yes.
Okay. What if it's an electronic signature if she didn't write it? Isn't it still her electronic signature?
The Electronic Signatures Act of 2000 would not be an electronic signature. It's an electronic signature if you typed it in. If you send this email, it's your electronic signature. If someone else types it in, it's not.
Well, also, this letter, you see on the first page, you see any place where it says draft?
Which document are you asking for the draft on?
All 36.
I do not see the word draft on all 36.
Would you agree that, based on this email, that is 037, sent at 1:05 p.m. on August 9th, 2019, and based on the letter marked as 036, that at that time, the law firm of Gephardt and Kiefer, by one of its partners, Tara San Angelo, wrote and signed an opinion letter and provided the NARS attorney, in which that firm said this letter should not be construed as proof of local support pursuant to NJSA 24:6I-7.2D4C.
No, I do not agree with that because the formal letter in 85 does not have the word draft on it. So I don't know which version was sent.
You're saying it wasn't the opinion of Gephardt Kiefer at 1:05 p.m. when this was sent, and she signed it on her letter. It wasn't her opinion. It wasn't the firm's opinion.
The one signed on her letter had an 85, or the one signed on her letter had an 036. They're the same letter, two different versions. Which one was sent? I don't know. Witness, you should be asking that question.
Not really, but
you should ask that person to send it.
Again, Mr. Dennis, don't complain about how much time we're taking with this witness. He's partially the cause for it. You just answer his questions without all the elaboration. If you cut the time down here, you're going to be testifying. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Mr. Marin, what I'm saying is let's go back in time. Let's go back in time to August 9th, 2019, 1:05 p.m.
Oh, but can I just say something? Look, you have the. I believe you have the right to ask him these questions, but I think the board knows the situation. They're not stupid people. They see the two versions of the letter. They see the email. They see that what her opinion was changed. It's factual. There's not really subject to interpretation about that. You keep on going, but you're not. I don't think you're helping your case. I think you might be aggravating the board members. Do you guys want to hear? Do you guys understand what happened here?
Yeah.
Mr. Drill.
Go ahead.
So, well, let's look at the point you made. Let's look at A5.
Well, beating a dead horse, but go ahead.
Does A5 indicate that it is correcting or amending 036?
No, I do not see that language on A5.
Does A5 say that the first letter was withdrawn or should be disregarded?
No, I do not see that language on A5.
Do you know if NAR ever provided the original Tara San Angelo letter, 036, to the Cannabis Regulatory Commission?
I do not know, and I do not know if it was the original letter.
You do not know, and what?
You asked me if they provided the original letter. I don't know which one you're referring to, the original letter, but I don't know what they provided to the Cannabis Commission. I was not a part of that application.
Well, I'm asking this in connection with your due diligence, which you said you did. You confirmed
it, sir. I disagree with your use of those words.
Do you know if NAR ever disclosed 036 to any of the prospective investors in NAR to whom NAR sold stock?
I do not know.
So you're not aware that they did?
I do not know.
May I have a moment, please? Just a minute. No further questions, this witness. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are going to open the questions up to the public.
Of this witness, and again, remember, he's asked them a lot of questions. If you have questions he hasn't asked, ask them. But if you have questions that he's already asked, it's just going to be unduly repetitious, and I'm going to be advising the chair to say go to another question.
When you come up, please spell your last name and let us know whether or not you were from London and Hampshire. Anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you. We are now going to move on to the board professionals. Mr. Wood?
Microphone does not appear to be working. I'll speak loudly. There we go. I have no questions for this witness.
I have no questions either.
Thank you.
I have no questions.
I ask my questions from my notes when we're going, just to make sure that things are clear. I rarely ask questions at the end.
Give me 1 second. I do. Okay, I just want to discuss Exhibit A86. Where it says the corporation has always been.
Oh, that's good. Let everyone get A86, you said?
Yes.
This is the resolution by unanimous consent of shareholders dated February
11,
2019.
That's correct.
I have A86 in front of me.
Okay. On the second page, it says the corporation has information that a particular person may have both the organizational skill and the opportunity to obtain the right to lawfully cultivate cannabis. And it continues on. Was this part of any risk assessment that you created to inform the investors?
I think some of the information in it would have been, but it's, you know, now that I'm looking at it very clearly, it may have been written. I mean, the information in it would be part of what we would tell an investor.
But that quote specifically? Probably, the individual?
Probably not that quote individually, exactly. No.
Thank you. I just have a question for you. If I offered you stock of a company that is not yet operational, and I don't know whether it will be operational. I do not have an appraisal of the company, and I come to you for money. Would you give me money?
I have done that on many occasions. That's a fairly decent chunk of my practice.
Thank you. Is a promise to provide services in the future considered an acceptable form of payment to receive stock?
Yes, I believe that would be considered consideration.
Thank you. No further questions. Thank you.
I have no questions.
Mr. Rich has no questions.
Derek?
No questions.
Okay. We can move on to the next witness.
Thank you for your time and patience.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Call up Don Sherman at this time.
If I previously swore, you know what? I didn't pick any candidates. Mr. Sherman, raise your right hand. Do you swear the testimony you're going to give in this proceeding is truth, whole truth, and nothing but truth?
Just speak into the microphone.
Right.
Sure.
And while you're answering questions, don't ask either Nitin or Ms. Jennings for any help. You just throw your hand, asking me the question. That's who you respond to. If Ms. Jennings makes an objection, stop until the objection is resolved. Okay?
Yes.
Can we maybe mark in the exhibits that we're going to use for Mr. Sherman?
I believe these are already.
You guys have copies of them already? I don't think so. We just got them on the exhibits.
Oh, we
A16, A71, 72, 73, 74.
No, I do not believe that. Okay, you're right. The exhibit was not happening, so let's get them all marked.
The packets.
We're going to take a packet. Please use the descriptions from the exhibit. Yes.
So A16, for the record, is Don Sherman's 2024 farmland assessment application. Then you skip to A71. That is a photo of the Sherman farm, indoor growing lights and racks. A72 is a photo of Sherman Farm indoor water system. A73 is a photo of the Sherman Farm, the HVAC equipment. And A74 is a photo of the Sherman Farm lettuce bed.
You ready to rock and roll down there?
Ready?
Okay. Do it.
Hey, Mr. Sherman, if you could, do you own and operate a farm in Lebanon Township?
Yes.
And if you could identify that by address, please?
My farm is located at 70 Mackenzie Road, Hampton, New Jersey, Lebanon Township.
And how long has the farm been in operation?
Now, for 2.5 years.
Okay. And do you have any other experience in farming?
When I was in college, I did work on about 2,000-acre farm in summers in upstate New York. And then my other experience is as a civil engineer, I've designed water and waste systems. They're frankly very similar to what's needed to operate an indoor growing facility, as well as I've drilled and managed over 500 well drillings and groundwater up to 750 gallons per minute. So I'm very familiar with the infrastructure needed to operate the indoor agriculture. So,
great. Okay, with your specific farm, were you required to secure a zoning permit prior to operating any portion of your farm?
Yes.
And what farm products do you produce?
Currently, we produce fish, a variety of produce. I can go into more detail eventually, and outdoors, chickens, sheep, firewood, hay, etc.
When you say outdoors, that means the fish and produce are indoors?
The fish and the produce are all indoors.
And what's outdoors?
Outdoors, we have chickens, sheep, hay, and wheat.
I'm sorry,
you
said wheat? Wood.
And you said hay and wood, right?
Hay, yeah. Grass. The sheep market.
And for the indoor growing, do you have a greenhouse?
I have a 7,800 square foot greenhouse.
And when was that constructed?
It was constructed in 2016.
And the prior owner grew the same crops?
The prior owner grew basically, again, it's a state-of-the-art aquaponics facility where we grow indoors to get optimal growth. And we raise fish as well as produce.
Okay, how much acreage is devoted to farming?
The farmland assessment is based on 5.38 acres. My total is 6.38 acres, but actually chickens and sheep run all around the grass. And, the idea that I have this theoretical 1 acre that's residential is really kind of not correct. So about 6 acres.
And that's indicated in what we've identified. We give you A16, and you can just identify that again for the record, please.
Yes, this is my farmland assessment application.
And that would indicate the acreage on there?
Correct.
Okay. And of the 5 acres, is any devoted to any single farming activity?
No. The acreage basically, you know, overlaps in there. Not sure I understand the question for that, but the amount of acreage total in farm use is officially on the application 5.38 acres.
Right, so just to clarify the question, when you talked about the fish that you're growing indoors, you identified a greenhouse of 7,800 square feet, correct?
Correct.
And so the fish don't occupy 5 acres, do they?
No, the fish produce indoors occupies 0.18 acres. Outdoors, there's different, there's no single use crop or otherwise that has the entire 5 acres.
Can you repeat, the fish and the produce indoors occupies how many acres?
0.18 acres, that's 7,800 square feet. At 4,300.
43,560. 43,560. So on your farm, then, collectively, all the farm activities that cover at least 5 acres that allowed you to file your farm assessment?
That's correct.
If you could describe the equipment that you use to enable your farming that's indoors.
It's fairly extensive. It's a overall, the indoor growing facility is supported with a variety of mechanical, electrical, other type of equipment. It ranges from the heat boilers that are used to heat water that circulates through the fish tanks.
Maybe I'm just going to interrupt you for a second because we did mark a few exhibits and perhaps they might better help you as you're explaining what you're doing. I'm going to hand you what's been marked A71 if you could identify that for the record and perhaps describe what that picture is showing.
I can say that a few words if I go to my notes that I made. So what you're looking at here is part of our growing where we have the plants that have germinated and are now put in what we call nutrient film technique channels. These are plastic channels that are about 10 feet long, about 4 inches wide, and about 3 to 4 inches deep. We place seeds, we start our seeds at germination seed tables. We start plants on sheets of rock wool. There, we put 200 plants in a sheet of rock wool, and then we break these the rock wool sheets into 1-inch squares. Each one we have a plant, and we place them in these channels, which have that nutrient-rich water flowing underneath them. So, in terms of the growing system, this system, we start with seeding and germination in seed tables and trays. We then move those plants as they get to having the first set of leaves into, as they're moving through them, essentially a vegetative state in the nutrient film technique channels. And then we move on from the channels to hydroponic rafts or deep water beds. These deep water beds are then, do we have a picture of the
that was shown in 72?
It's also shown here.
What?
So this is...
Explain.
When you say this, say what exhibit number you're referring to.
This exhibit A74 is lettuce growing in one of my deep water beds. So these are essentially hydroponic beds. These are essentially 8 feet long, 8 feet wide, 40 feet long, 1 foot deep. And the plants are transferred in stages as they grow from the seeding and germination table to the nutrient film technique channels shown in exhibit A71, where they then are transferred to these hydroponic raft tanks.
It's a lot. So A74, I understand what you just said. What's the next exhibit you referred to?
I went back, I started back at something I don't have a picture of sitting here, which is the seeding tables where
Okay, I thought there was a picture of that.
No, I don't see it here.
Okay. Forget about it.
So again, these are where the plants then reach full maturity. They grow in these basically raft tanks, the raft underneath basically these floating rafts that hold 18 plants each on a 2-foot by 4-foot piece of essentially styrofoam material. It's like Dow Corning insulation board.
I'm sorry, it's what?
Dow Corning insulation board. They're 2-foot by 4-foot. And these is the plants for maturity. The other equipment that's critical to the operation is that we are in a greenhouse with a polycarbonate roof that lets sunlight in, and at the same time, we operate shade screens that are automatically controlled. The environment is controlled to, if it gets too much sunlight, it gets too warm, my shade screens move over the entire raft tank area. Let's see if we've got a good picture of that. Not great, but if you look at the infrastructure here in A72, you can see the roof trusses, and in the south end of the building, which is approximately 70 feet long and it's 60 feet wide, I have 10 shade screens that mechanically move and deploy. At nighttime, they close up to retain heat in. In the daytime, they open up in the morning, let the sunlight in, gets too warm, they close up. We have supplemental light. I have...
Stay with A72.
Okay.
When you say the south end, you mean the from us looking at the picture, the far right end?
Yes, that's correct.
Go to the left end where you have these blue tubs with water in them. What's the roofing material over those tubs?
That's a sheet metal,
And so a portion has the
So were the fish, the aquaculture part of the aquaponics is aquaculture plus hydroponics. So the aquaculture portion is under, I'll call it the north half of the building. It's not exactly half, but it's pretty close. And that roof does not have the polycarbonate glass. So it's, again, these the greenhouse, the entire structure is essentially two greenhouses that are coupled together, two peaked roofs. Each one of the halves of the greenhouses, basically it becomes a total of 60 feet wide, 120 feet long, and that half where you see the blue tanks in figure A72 is where the fish are. And what the and you can see, you can almost see that the water comes into the overall system. It's a recirculating system. So water comes from my well. It's pumped to the fish tanks. The fish tanks from there, the water goes through what's known as a clarifier and then a biofilter. It's basically a biofilter. And that enables the fish water to be converted to nutrients rich in nitrate, that fertilizer. That water then goes out from these fish tank areas to these raft tank areas and feeds the plants and then comes back to the system.
So all the water is recycled?
Right. So I have about 14,000 gallons of water in my system. And of that, I end up making adding water because the plants take it up virtually zero discharge. And I need about 50 gallons a day, maybe 100 gallons a day to make up water. And my water circulates through the system at about 75 gallons per minute. And then other equipment in the greenhouse, I have a utility room which has my computer control systems for the shade screens. I have a series of fans that you can see that ventilate the greenhouse.
That's on exhibit A73?
Correct, A73, I'm holding that up. And so these are basically at the south end of the building, these six large fans. At the north end of the building, there's actually a wall that drops down, mechanically operated. I don't have it shown in the picture, but it's it would be at the left end of figure A72.
Are those exhaust, the six fans, are they exhaust fans or intake?
Those are exhaust fans, so.
And what about the two square boxes that have vents on them near the peak of the roof?
Those are vents and those are called gable fans. So they're also a discharge. At the other end of the greenhouse, the opposite end of the greenhouse, they're both intake vents that just open up, no fans, as well as a wall that drops down from the north end that allows the computer to control how much air is getting in to try and regulate temperature and humidity. So other equipment that I mentioned, again, I have to both heat the greenhouse. I have three ways of heating the greenhouse and the water. One is I have two large propane burners that are 260,000 BTU units in diagonally opposite corners of the greenhouse inside. Then I have a radiant heat system with a boiler that feeds three zones of radiant heat, I should say two zones of radiant heat and one large heat exchanger. And so they can then provide, they both heat the floor. There's, you can kind of see the tubes in picture A71 on the floor. They're little black tubes about 5/8 of an inch in diameter. I have about 10,000 feet of these running through the floor of my system. I may have overstated, it might be 5,000, but it's a lot. And the water from the boiler feeds out to these zones. It's there's a thermostat that controls them, and that's the way both heat the air in the room, as well as those tubes run underneath the hydroponic raft tanks and heat the water, which ultimately makes it to the fish. So there's always this environmental balance where I want to get it just right, warm enough, not too warm, not too cold. And the last way I can heat is by, the last way is I also have some electric heat exchangers also in line on the water system that research leads. So I've really got a kind of a belt and suspenders on this operation, and I think that's the kind of thing that is, you know, standard in any kind of good growing facilities. You've got some fairly sophisticated equipment that is well designed and computer controlled operation with, of course, lots of manual overrides and tweaking of the system daily.
And in your opinion, the systems that you just described, or you're using at your farm, would you say they're similar to the system that Min testified to be used at the North property for proof?
Yes, I think that my equipment would work well in their system, as well as the process of seeding, germination, moving to different stages of growth indoors is really an optimal environment. And I showed all the kind of the heat, lighting. I didn't even go into my lighting system. I have 24 metal halide lights, 1,000-watt lights, and they're over my growing area, and I'd love to add more.
And with all this equipment that you described and in indoor farming processes, has anyone in the township ever told you that your property does not meet the township's definition of a farm?
No, absolutely not.
And you have kept your formal assessment all this time?
Yeah, not only that, I mean, we are a commercial farm under the New Jersey Right to Farm Act of, I guess it's 1984-86, in which we meet the three tests. One is that we are farmland assessed. Two, we sell at least $2,500 worth of product. Three, we follow good agricultural practices, and being New Jersey Aquatic Farm License Number 251, I believe we need that test. And for a commercial farm, should one not meet the 5-acre test, if you sell $50,000 of product or more, you are still the farm and can be farmland assessed. So regardless of the commercial farm status.
With respect to the farming processes, are different from conducting activity indoors as opposed to outdoors?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, there's distinct advantages of growing indoors. One is I can control my environment of temperature, humidity, along with the insect pressure and other natural challenges of mold and other things that you're going to run into outdoors, as well as plants and animals that want to eat your crop. So I'm really, you know, I can get a superior quality. I can control my nutrients. I basically work very, very carefully. Both I have laboratory equipment that I use at bench scale, and then I take samples to J.R. Peters' lab, which is a fertilizer and water treatment manufacturing laboratory over in Allentown. So once a month I run a test, and then I use a water quality model that I have a consultant that I use out of New Mexico who specializes in aquaponic and hydroponic growing. His practice has built a water quality model that I take the results from a monthly water test, and they can tell me exactly what additional nutrients I need to add. And we do everything following organic practices. Everything we're doing is really, we're not certified organic, but we are just very, very meticulous about our process.
And another benefit of growing crops indoors is you don't have to worry about bad weather, like snow.
It's a lot easier to get people to work when it's 70 degrees indoors in the winter. And it's really, it's a pleasure.
And how does the water usage from indoor farming compare to water usage for outdoor farming?
I'd say it's, you know, 1/10 to 1/20, because we're completely, capturing everything. And it's just what gets uptake with plants. I mean, there is evaporation, but you know, the water is going directly to the plants. I'm not doing any kind of, I've lived in areas where flood irrigation or just having to rely on rain. In New Jersey, anybody growing, you know, any kind of crops, you'll see ever increasing amount of irrigation happening in New Jersey.
So would you say it's common for farmers to grow crops indoors?
Definitely. I think that's, you know, the food supply on the East Coast is continues to increase. There's a company in New York that has just put in at least another 300,000 square feet of indoor growing for produce. And Errol Farms is quite well recognized as a national starting out here in New York metro area. Recognized leader.
And with respect to your farming, how many employees do you have?
I have myself and my wife, and then we have three part-time employees / volunteers.
How often do you have trucks or delivery vehicles on your property? How big are they?
The trucks are probably two or three trucks or vans a week. They tend to be everything from Amazon vans to FedEx trucks and box trucks like that. And occasionally, probably about 4 to 6 times a year, maybe a little more, I get it'll be a tractor trailer that will deliver pallets of food. Those would be 48-foot trucks. And,
4 to 6 times a year, tractor trailer delivering food?
Fish food. I've got an order for a ton of food about every 2 to 3 months.
And were you ever required to get a zoning permit for any of your farming activity?
No.
And has your farm ever been cited for violation by a liquor contention?
No. They wouldn't have jurisdiction.
All right. And could your greenhouse facility...
Well, who would have jurisdiction?
The state.
Well, the state or the county. The Hunterdon County Agricultural Development Board?
It's still a state matter. It's,
yeah. Who would have jurisdiction? The SADC or the Hunterdon County Agricultural Development Board? I'm asking him who he believes would have jurisdiction.
I'm not certain myself. I think your judgment that it's Hunterdon County, I'll take that as the correct answer.
And could your greenhouse facility grow hemp if you received the appropriate licensing?
I do have the hemp license. I've just been renewed for 2024, and I am growing hemp.
That's all the questions I have.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Mr. Webb, do you have any questions?
I do. I need my mic turned on.
Yeah, but that's all I can say about that. There you go.
Thank you. Is this volume appropriate?
Yes.
Right now. Hi, Mr. Sherman. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Sure.
You said that just a few minutes ago that no Lebanon Township official ever told you that your property was not a farm, right?
That's correct.
Did any Lebanon Township official ever tell you that your property was a farm under the zoning law?
I had a conversation with John Fleming at least 2.5 years ago, and he indicated that he mentioned the word farm. He said that he was asking, would my farm have a farm store? And I told him, maybe.
Okay, so.
So I would interpret that as he identified my property as a farm.
You interpret that as a pet?
What he said, would my farm have a farm?
He used the word farm.
He used the word farm.
He used the word farm, but he never told you that your property was a farm for purposes of the zoning order.
We never had a conversation where he said, your farm is, for zoning purposes, is a farm.
Well, you said earlier in your testimony that no one ever told you it wasn't a farm. So I just want to make clear, numbers, nobody ever said anything about it was or wasn't.
Again, Mr. Fleming used the word farm. I consider that he told me it was a farm.
Okay. So, did your property have farmland assessment in 2023?
Yes.
Do you remember how much you paid in taxes on your property in 2023?
My total tax bill was $18,000-something. Of that portion, my farm-assessed land was $600 for farmland the year before. I don't recall what it was for 2023.
Okay, and I see on this current application marked as A16, you're showing total final income of $22,000. Is that correct?
That's what I showed on the application. Actually, in 2023, I just prepared my taxes, and the income in 2022 was about $48,000 to $52,000. So I called it $50,000. In 2023, my taxes, the income on the farm was approximately $96,000.
Okay, so when you say for purposes of this form, you list it as income. Is that revenue, or do you mean income after expense?
Revenue.
So in 2024, you're predicting to have revenue of $22,000?
In 2024, I'm predicting to have $200,000 of revenue. Revenue.
Okay. Yeah.
Over $200,000.
So there's a number on here that says $22,000. Is that your income after expenses?
No.
Okay. So in 2024, for purposes of this form, this is form A16.
What is your form what?
A16.
That was my estimate of revenue at the time of preparing the application. I exceeded that by substantial amount.
Okay, so you submitted a form on July 31st of 2023 where you indicated you believed you would have revenue of $22,000, annual revenue of $22,000.
At least.
Okay, but you just said that it was actually over $200,000?
No, I said in 2024 I project over $200,000 of revenue. In 2022, I actually had about $50,000, but I had to scale back because I had insect pressure, and I basically, and also the labor, I didn't have enough labor, so I scaled back operations, and I did not expect that I'd be able to make it up, but I was successful in making it up, and again, I had a year. So I just prepared the draft of my taxes for 2023, and the actual income was the actual revenue, not net income, but my revenue was about $96,000, $97,000 at the farm.
Okay. When did you first meet Nick McLean?
I introduced myself to him at one of the meetings that was here in summer of 2022.
Right here?
You know, I'd say here, township meetings, which he was, I think it was probably the planning, one of the planning board meetings, which was reviewing his materials.
Okay. And what's your relationship with the NAR group at this time?
I am an expert witness on retainer with the NAR group.
So you're an expert witness on retainer, so you're being paid for your testimony tonight?
Yes.
I don't recall that you were qualified as an expert tonight.
He was not.
You were not qualified as an expert, so you're just being paid to testify as a fact witness.
That's correct.
Okay. other than for being paid to testify here as a fact witness, have you ever provided services for the NAR group?
Just this service.
And any services for Nick Mangione?
No.
Have you ever discussed with Nick Mangione the possibility of providing services to NAR beyond your testimony here tonight?
No.
Excuse me, we just have to take a 2-minute break.
Okay. I agree.
Mr. Webb, you can continue.
Thank you.
We can quiet down, please.
Yes, Mr. Trump.
Yes.
Have you ever been told that you might be given an opportunity to purchase shares in NAR?
No.
Did you personally obtain a permit from the Lebanon Council Zoning Officer for the greenhouse at 70 McKenzie Road?
No.
Did you personally ever, pardon me?
The greenhouse construction went through, when I bought the property, I verified that all construction permits...
Just answer my question, okay?
Sorry.
Did you personally ever apply to the Board of Adjustment in Lebanon Township for an interpretation or a use variance concerning the greenhouse at 70 McKenzie Road?
No.
Do you know if the prior owner of the property at 70 McKenzie Road ever applied to the Township Board of Adjustment for an interpretation or use variance concerning the greenhouse?
Not that I know of.
Is it true to say that you really have no personal knowledge of what occurred concerning the proposed construction of the greenhouse at 70 McKenzie Road with respect to approvals or permits?
No, that's not correct.
That's not correct?
When I did my due diligence, I bought the property, I verified that all necessary permits were obtained in the township, mechanical, electrical, structural, fire, safety, etc.
Okay, do you operate a business called FLP Acres?
Correct.
A business called?
F as in Frank, L, P as in Peter, Acres. Have you listed the property at 70 McKenzie Road for sale?
I did for 1 week.
So it's not listed for sale now?
It is not.
Identification, what is a screenshot essentially of a real estate listing with Century 21 Realtors for 70 McKenzie Road that was done on January 6, 2024 at 4:51 p.m.
Okay, so we're going to mark this for identification as 038, and you'll be asking the witness if this involves his property, if he recognizes it, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
With 038, copy of, supposed to be a copy of Century 21 listing for 70 McKenzie Road.
Do you recognize this, Mr. Trump?
That's the off-market listing, yes.
So, I understand you're saying it's no longer on the market. I understand that. But when it was on the market, was this a...
Absolutely.
Accurate depiction of the website that it
was on? Yes, and the agent.
So, this listing describes... the home on 1.0 acres and then says, with a quote, with additional 5.38 acres for operating hydroponic greenhouse, unquote. Why does it separate the home on 1 acre from the greenhouse on 5.38 acres?
Because that's the way the farm assessment and the property assessment in the township works. At 6.38 acres, they consider 1 acre to be that for the house, 5.38 acres for the farmland.
But do you have title to all the property?
Yes.
Are both, was it your intent that both would be included in the sale?
Yes, it's one parcel, one lot.
Okay. The listing says, and again, I quote, the property was purchased with the intent to grow all natural vegetables and environmentally grown fish, parentheses, a lot of closed parentheses, for sale to restaurants and consumers, unquote. Why was the listing worded in this way? That is, was purchased with the intent to grow. Why not just say, the greenhouse grows?
My uncle David is a bad writer.
Is that it? It's just, so there's no intent, there's no particular reason to say was purchased with the intent to grow as opposed to this is what we do.
There are many other flaws in this writing that if I put it back on the market, I would change.
Okay, that's fine.
One of the flaws that it says 5.3 acres for operating the hydroponic greenhouse when it's only 7,800 square feet.
0.18 acres. The total farmland is 5.3.
You didn't review this before you put it up?
Pardon?
You didn't review this before your uncle put it up on the web?
We had been working on refinancing and we said, let's see if we can list it on the market. And it messed up my financing, so we pulled it off the market. It's on the market for 1 week in October. And so the listings, things on the internet, last forever.
I'm sorry, what's that part?
Things on the internet, last forever.
Do you currently utilize the property in the way it's described in this listing?
I'm sorry?
I said, do you currently use the property in the way that it is described in this listing?
I haven't read the listing in 3 months, so. It's substantially accurate.
Focus on the last sentence. Property was purchased with the intent to grow all natural vegetables and environmentally grown fish, tilapia, for sale to restaurants.
That was certainly my intent when I purchased it.
But he asked you, are you using it now for what it says in the list?
Absolutely. Yes.
I know you only had it on the market for a short time, but in that time, was it your instruction to the realtor that you would tell prospective purchasers that the property is being used in that way that you've just described?
Absolutely.
Your property is located in the R3 zoning district, correct?
Correct.
Do you know if the operation of a 7,800 square foot commercial hydroponic greenhouse is a permitted use in the R3 zoning district?
My interpretation, my attorney's interpretation is yes.
Who's your attorney?
Anthony Spazzaro, Chester.
Spazzaro. From Chester.
No, thank
you. Welcome.
His website is njbondlaw.com.
I'm now asking to have Mark for identification. copy of the zoning permit that was issued to the prior owner of 70 McKenzie Road. This was obtained from the township records by over request.
It's going to be marked as exhibit for identification at this point, 039. Yep.
Please don't consult with the witness.
Yeah.
No, you can't. We told the witness,
you've heard this before, you can't talk to him, you can't point things out, you can't help him. He's the witness, he's under oath, he has to testify in his own personal knowledge.
So, Mr. Shum, you said a few minutes ago that you, and I believe you said the prior owner, didn't need to get any zoning permits for this greenhouse? Do you recall saying that?
Yes.
Okay, so apparently, notwithstanding what before, back prior to the greenhouse being built, a zoning permit was in fact sought and obtained with respect to 70 McKenzie Grove greenhouse.
That's okay.
So you're looking at that right now. Have you ever seen this document before?
No.
When you did your due diligence, you didn't see it?
I saw other documents in the construction files at township office. All permits have been obtained, and I'm not sure this was actually necessary, much like the others.
Okay, so your due diligence didn't include a search for the zoning record, just the building record.
I did not see that I needed zoning based on my attorney's approval.
I didn't ask you what you saw a need for. Yeah. I just asked you if you did it.
No.
Okay, so you have any reason to believe that this document is not the zoning permit issued for the construction of the greenhouse at 70 McKenzie Road?
I see this as a demolition and construction of the building permit.
Wait, can you ask him the question again? He asked you a question and you like answered some other question that wasn't asked. Okay. Ask him the question again.
I said, do you have any reason to believe this document is not the zoning permit issued for the construction of the greenhouse at 70 McKenzie Road?
That's a yes or a no.
I have no reason to believe this is not the zoning permit for the property.
You see where it says aquaponic greenhouse to culture fish and vegetables? That's what the permit says. It's permitted, correct?
That's what it says, the use of the site, the structure site, aquaponic greenhouse.
Aquaponic greenhouse.
I can't believe that it's something fish and
culture,
vegetables.
Fish and vegetables, yes? That's what it says?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, now, looking down a little further, about three quarters of the way down, next to the applicant's signature, you see where the zoning officer wrote in granting this permit, personal use only?
I see that, yes.
Would you agree that this zoning permit, this document only permits the greenhouse to be operated for personal use only?
That's what this permit says.
Okay. Do you believe that your current operation of the greenhouse at 70 McKenzie Road can be fairly described as personal use?
Yes.
Do you think when the zoning officer wrote personal use, by that he meant to authorize a commercial greenhouse to engage in the distribution of restaurants, subscription sales over the internet, and operation of a farm store open to the general public?
Yes, because I talked to John Fleming and that's what he told me was done on the property.
That's what you say, right?
Yep.
But that's not what you wrote on the permit that was actually given to the prior owner at the time it was built.
Correct.
You recognize John Fleming's signature?
I couldn't verify it one way or another.
I'm sure someone will.
Would you agree that your current use of the greenhouse could not fairly be characterized as personal use?
I would agree with you.
Having seen this permit, are you now concerned that the operation of the greenhouse may be a violation of local zoning ordinances?
Absolutely not.
So the fact that your current use is inconsistent with the permit that was granted to build the building doesn't concern you?
That's correct.
And that's because what? Why is that? Why it doesn't concern you?
Because under the New Jersey Right to Farm Act, I have a permitted use under state law.
So you believe the New Jersey Right to Farm Act supersedes the local zoning ordinance?
Yes. Yes.
Do you understand that if you want to make that argument, you have to go to the County Agricultural Development Board to get that determination?
Yes.
Did you get such a determination?
I filed with the county. Yes.
Pardon me. Have you gotten a determination from the County Agricultural Development Board that you can have a commercial greenhouse on this property in the R3 zone? Yes or no?
Not in writing.
Okay.
Having seen this permit, are you concerned that your listing of the property for sale contained false representations that could subject you or your realtor to a lawsuit by a purchaser who didn't know about this permit?
No.
So, what crops do you grow in the greenhouse?
I grow a variety of produce and fruit and plants, ranging from lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, chard, kale, parsley, sage, rosemary, thyme, etc.
Do you grow hemp?
Yes.
When did you first grow hemp in the greenhouse?
Started growing hemp in November of 2023.
November of 2023?
Correct.
When did you obtain a hemp grower's permit?
October of 2023.
Did Dar move hemp plants from 62 Anthony Road to your greenhouse?
I bought plants from 22 Anthony Road. The answer is yes.
When?
November of 2023.
How much did you pay for the hemp plants?
$10.
What was your total gross revenue from the sale of hemp in 2023?
I've not sold it yet.
Pardon me?
I've not sold it yet.
What was your total gross revenue, approximately, from the sale of greenhouse vegetables in 2023?
Approximately $50,000.
All of the vegetables that you grow in the greenhouse, are those crops that are legal for anyone to grow in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, as far as I know.
You need a license from the state of New Jersey to grow any of the crops other than hemp in your greenhouse?
No.
Are any of your crops in the greenhouse illegal to grow or possess under federal law?
No.
Do any of the crops grown in your greenhouse require a doctor's prescription to be purchased?
No.
Do you or anyone else working at your greenhouse wear personal protective equipment while working there?
PPE, I wear gloves when I handle nutrients and fertilizer.
Okay. Do you have security guards on duty at your greenhouse?
No.
Does your greenhouse have a security gate monitored by a guard?
No.
Does your greenhouse have over 50 security cameras monitoring the property 24/7, 365?
No, only four.
You have four? Okay. Does your greenhouse utilize 14 and 24 foot high sound barrier walls to contain the noise of industrial air handlers?
No.
Does your property include on-site employee housing for workers at the greenhouse?
I have a trailer that employees could live in.
That's not what I asked you.
That's right. Find out about the trailer.
Let's get the first answer.
Yes, that's the question again. I didn't hear you correctly.
Does your property include on-site public housing for workers at your greenhouse? Did that?
I have housing, no one's living in it. Yes.
Have you gotten a permit for that?
No.
Does your greenhouse generate wastewater that you dispose of by trucking it off-site?
No.
Does NAR propose to operate a greenhouse at 62 Anthony Road?
Based on these hearings, yes.
A greenhouse? A greenhouse?
It's a grow house, it's a cultivation facility.
Greenhouse.
That's what I'm going to ask.
He didn't ask grow house. Greenhouse.
I didn't say a metal building with no windows. I said a greenhouse.
Yeah.
Does Lebanon Township have two ordinances in effect that expressly prohibit the cultivation of the crops that you grow in your greenhouse?
I grow hemp, and I'm not aware that hemp is not an allowed crop in the township or New Jersey.
You answer the question somebody else asked.
Ask me the question again.
Okay. Does Lebanon Township have two ordinances in effect that expressly prohibit cultivation of the crops that you grow in your greenhouse?
No.
May I have a moment, please?
Yeah. At that time, we have to start thinking about we might need some more meetings. Like, I thought by doing one meeting a week, we'd be done by the end of February. I was starting to pick up a little speed, but not enough. So just. We're not doing Tuesday because I can't make it Tuesday. We're doing Wednesday.
Well, then you're going to get
someone else from your office to do it. I'm just telling you, Ms. Jennings. Well, you could. Then you don't have to show up. Ready for this?
It's our case.
Right. You do not have to show up then. You can send someone else because you're the one who says you're not granting an extension of time under any circumstances.
So the board
is going to be meeting once a week until this application is completed because the time to decide the application for the board expires on April 15th. And I'm not going to let the board get into a situation where there's going to be any automatic approval. So plan accordingly, Ms. Jennings. So the guy without need for further notice. See you April 24th. Mr. Brill.
Do we have some indication of the witnesses that are expected at the next hearing?
Well, we know who's coming. After Mr. Sherman, the next witness you said before is your site engineer.
Yes, site engineer, and we'll probably bring Nick back up eventually, and some others, and the plan.
And the plan.
And who's their witness?
We said it right in the beginning, Peter Steck, they're planning it.
We're going to anticipate we're going to get to our point.
I don't know if he exists here at the opening hearing.
Oh, I wasn't sure if he left. Gary left. I don't see Gary anymore.
Huh? Well, maybe Peter left. Anyway, see everyone January 24th.
Adjourn.
Thank you. Have a good night. Can I have a motion, please, to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
All approved?
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor?
Opposed?
None.
Thank you.